weekend of the 28th, we have Saver. But also in town is going to be 1,200 bicycle riders for the, it's really the Morro Bay High School sports boosters come out and feed these folks. It's a giant fundraiser for them. They are looking for volunteers over there. You can contact the high school to get connected with that group to help out feeding 1,200 bicyclers on Saturday the 28th. Watch for them on the roads. They will use the rules of the roads, and we'll give them some guide, some leeway as they travel through in big packs. So watch for the bicyclers, and be very careful and cognizant, since we did have a passing of a bicycler within the past week. Also, I'd like to announce that, in case you're unaware, the City of Morro Bay has a special City Council agenda item today. It's a special closed session meeting called at 1 o'clock for the City Hall Conference Room at 595 Harbor. They'll establish a quorum, and the closed session items will receive public comment. If you're interested in commenting, the City Council we'll move to closed session after public comment, and the agenda item is CS1, and it is the public employee discipline dismissal release of the employees, which are stated as the city manager and the city attorney. And pursuant to the government code, the city manager and city attorney have requested that the complaints or charges be heard in an open session rather than a closed session. So if you're interested in that meeting at all, I know that it was short notice because it's a special meeting, but it will be held today at 1 o'clock, and it looks like it will probably likely be held at City Hall. So just wanted to let the public know about that as a point of interest.
Okay. Mick, any public or any board announcements? No. Karen?
No.
John? Okay. I think I have none either. So we will move on to approval of the minutes. Everybody should have received the Thursday, August 8th minutes. Hopefully everybody's reviewed them, and I'd love to see a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. And I do apologize. I want to note for the record, I did not do that earlier, that Jane Beeman and Alex Amini are not in attendance. So I apologize for not noting that earlier when I called the meeting to order. So we have a 5-0 vote. We have approved the minutes. We will now move on to presentation and approval of the 12-month media plan. I will turn that over to Karen to introduce John Sorgenfrey.
Good morning, board, staff, and audience. I'd like to take this opportunity
to introduce John Sorgenfrey from TJA Marketing, as well as Casey Knighton and Rick Turton, who will all be making presentations this morning about our multimedia plan as well as our website.
I always hate that I have to bring the microphone down. It's always a reminder of how short I am. I just really actually, just to kind of bring everybody up to speed, we've had a budget subcommittee meeting. In that meeting, we took several recommendations from the budget subcommittee, had a subsequent meeting in which we answered all those questions, formulated the correct expenditures, at least from my perspective and what I heard from the subcommittee. So today before you is really basically the approval of that. I don't know if it would be appropriate for members of the subcommittee to give you a brief synopsis of what we've done. I don't know if you need to hear that. Also, my recommendation would be in looking at the agenda, because we still need to hear from the website subcommittee relative to some of the funding issues with the website. So what I might recommend is you might want to approve, if you so desire, approve the media budget, and then pull that item to be considered, if that's appropriate. Or we could have the website subcommittee come before that, whatever you I think you probably want to hear from them. And then also my team would like to talk to you a little bit about the website as well, and probably be appropriate to hear some of the stats, because we've got some good news relative to that as well. So I'm here for any questions on the budget.
Does anybody have any questions for John? I think I may want to ask that somebody does. I think it would be important to have the website status report prior to making a website recommendation before approving. So if I can have a motion to move that item up, we can have Rick before us, have him do the presentation. Can we do that?
I'll make a motion that we have Rick come up and give the website report.
Okay. So all in favor?
Did somebody second?
Yeah, John Myers seconded. Any discussion?
Can we have two open items running concurrently? That's a thing I don't know. Because the media buy is open, I don't know if we can do that. I'm not sure we can have two open items running concurrently. I think that we have to move to continue this item and come to the, just to, as a point of
right.
the rules
Process.
Of order. Right.
Yeah.
Could I amend my
yeah, to continue
motion
this item.
And
mm-hmm.
Move to continue the medium plan presentation?
Until after the website.
Okay. Second? Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, so we will move website. So Rick can come up, do the website status report. Then we'll do the presentation and approval.
Okay,
we'll
and I think what I'd like for Rick to do is so he's not popping up and back and forth. He's got some comments relative to some of the recommendations from the website subcommittee, so he'll address those. I'll just open by saying that we've got some good news. I think that Rick's going to share with you more eloquently than I can, but we do have the opportunity to do the cloud-based format that you're seeking within the site itself. So he's going to give you a little bit of insight about that. And then also talk a little bit about some of the concerns of moving the site to that type of format, because I can tell you that just from recent experience, some of you go back long enough to remember Elements, and we had a content management system that was very laborious for us when we first started with it. It was necessary to have because of some of the technology that later became really available. And we weaned ourselves off of that so we could make changes easy. And I think particularly going in-house, it's going to be really important to make sure you consistently have a site that's easily managed. So I'm going to let Rick address that part because that's a bit of a concerned recommendation that we have. We just did this for the Central Coast Tourism Council. My firm was selected after an RFP to handle the website for the Central Coast Tourism Council. And that was a really great honor because that basically consists of all the DMOs from Monterey County, San Luis Obispo County, Santa Barbara County, all the way down to Ventura. And again, what we faced there was a system that was set up to where every time we wanted to make any changes, whether it be SEO, pretty simplistic things, we had to go to another third party, which was a company called Specto. And they charged us $200 an hour, and we had to get in the queue, and we had to wait. So I think that's one thing that we just want to bring up and as a point of consideration to make sure that when you look at other systems that we keep that in mind. And I'm going to let Rick address that more.
Thank you, John.
So it looks like I kind of got a two-part thing here, is to talk about the web stats and then talk about the website committee recommendations.
And state your name for us, Rick.
Help. Thanks, John. I am Rick Turton. I am your webmaster at the moment. So anyway, let's look at the stats. I brought stat copies if anybody needs them printed out. Is anybody else besides?
Okay. Would anybody in the audience like a copy?
So
I have mine printed.
Everybody else okay? Okay, so the big change is I added a master stat page because what was happening was that finally I was able to determine that your mobile website was basically separate totally from your morobay.org main mothership type of thing. So I needed to combine those two to give you a good a good view of what is actually going on, because both sites send referrals to the constituent website. So we needed to start tracking that. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get in a clean shot at tracking for August for the Morro Bay mobile site referrals. So I actually started at August 17th. I know I'm jumping around. If you go to the referral page for August referral pages, you can see the mobile site sent 261 referrals to the lodging constituents. If you amortize that out for the whole month, you'd add probably another 280 in there if it was from the beginning of the month. So that would give you a real good clean picture of how many referrals the website is sending. So I'm really confident now in the tracking of all of the different ones, and you can see we're tracking Jackrabbit, Mobile, a specials page, and the hotel page totally separately to give you a really good idea. And then one thing that's good is this is all being tracked through Google Analytics, so the history will stay there regardless of who's doing everything, so which is something that we were kind of lacking before. One of the things is if you look at the master stats and you see the drop year over year, we were only 7.85% ahead of last year's August when we were 24.42% ahead of July year over year. This is really consistent with my other DMOs where somebody was tracking 30%, 40% ahead. They almost dropped down into single digits. I think it's because August things are falling off a lot faster now than we're seeing, you know, with back to school starting earlier. So a lot of people are booking so close that we're, you know, like this weekend or next weekend that we're seeing that. So that's not a big surprise or a shock to me at all, because I just had to do the same speech yesterday in front of Avila Beach, and I'll have to do the same thing Wednesday in front of BISMO, because it was all consistent. CCTC, same thing. So I don't think that's something to really be concerned about. The thing that the major victory that I feel that I want to claim is in August, and under traffic sources, we got up to almost 50% of search, and that was a long time coming. If you scan back and you see the prior 7 months, you see there were all hovering around mid-30s to low-40s, and that's pretty much what I was focused on, was to get your search terms, your organic search terms back up. In the first 6 months of the year, your organic search terms were running about 30% down year over year, and in August it was absolutely even. So, you know, that was a pretty major gain, because you got to remember, traffic via organic search is probably about the cheapest thing you can get. You know, you're not paying for clicks, you're not paying for banner advertising. One of the things that's still of a concern, and this is something we really don't have any control over, is the referrals from your number one referral site, which is the city website. We dropped 1,000 year over year on referrals on that. It's down almost 12% year over year. That really causes me a lot of concern, but there's nothing we can really do about it. The only thing I can think about is the city's website, because your positioning hasn't changed on the link, as far as I know. And so the only thing we could assume is the city website is getting a lot less traffic, okay? But, you know, there's no way we can make that up easy, because if you want to make that 1,000 up, you would have to go over and do pay-per-click or banner advertising or some other kind of marketing thing to fill in that thing, which is something that the county, Wine Coast Country, did, because Hearst Castle dropped them off the front page on a link, and it caused a huge amount. I mean, you were talking 2,000 and 3,000 visitor sessions a month that dropped off on that. So anyway, I'll pick questions in a second here. Let me just, I got a little bit more to go through. Actually, that kind of hits at all the high spots, and I'm take questions on the web stats.
Any questions for Rick? Thank you for getting this out to us, too, early in the week. It was nice to be able to look it over.
Well, the delay was the fact that I decided at the last minute to do this master stat page, which will go forward, so that, you know, hopefully you can get it earlier in the week.
Yeah, I thought it was nice. I think we got it a good couple of days in advance, so it was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
John?
I just wanted to say, before maybe Rick gets into the whole web conversation, maybe you want to hear from Casey, because she's got some social media stats, and then we'd sort of be done with the stat reporting, if that's acceptable. Okay.
Do you have any other questions? I see Karen's got
Karen's
one.
Karen's got, yeah.
I just want to be sure that I'm understanding these numbers, Rick, and I'm looking at The MorroBay.org pages, 2012 versus 2013.
Okay, got it, Karen.
And in August, because you were talking about traffic sources specifically, the search itself percentage-wise went up by about 6.3% for 2013.
Oh, 2013. Yeah, got it.
But the referring sites went down, and the direct went down. Is that correct? Am I looking at the right numbers then?
Yeah, you're absolutely look. Remember, you know, the referring sites, your number one referring site dropped a lot. So
right,
that makes sense.
Right, and that was Morro Bay, the city.
Yeah, and then your direct, remember what direct traffic is
right.
You type in MorroBay.org or you're bookmarked it, basically,
right.
And you're coming back, a returning visitor.
Right.
Okay, and I looked, just for my own satisfaction, I looked at the first 10 days of September, and we're at 51% search traffic. So,
for search traffic.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know.
So
that,
it's continuing to move up.
That's hopeful. I mean, you know, when you go back and you look at the search traffic in, you know, the first part of 2012, Karen, you see it at 58, 55, 55, 56, 53.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a reasonable DMO type of thing, what I'm looking for. So.
Now, would search traffic depend on the amount of advertising being done at a particular point? If that's new traffic coming into a site to the site that's maybe spurred by campaigns, am I right in assuming
campaigns
that?
Campaigns usually have a banner ad or something else associated with them or a print thing, so we would see it coming under other things. Now, if you're not doing pay-per-click, Google AdWords, then your searches are all organic. So Karen types in Morro Bay Lodging into her thing. That's a search. Morro Bay Dog-Friendly Hotels. That's a search. And that's what we're trying to do. And we fluff the website's title tags, description tags, as you well know for the Embarcadero Inn, you know, is how we're trying to do that. And that's what I've been spending my time on, and then making sure, like, I've added some page headlines. So where you see Morro Bay events on the event page, I'm trying to trap those searches to come in.
Well, I think the point that I was making was I'm trying to figure out why we drop down so much at one point and then bump up in our organic search.
Right.
And what I'm thinking is, particularly in 2012, we were trying to focus our advertising more in our shoulder season.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got more advertising out there, that's going to create, I would think, direct traffic.
Yeah. So that was more direct traffic then.
Right.
And, you know, so you always got to remember, and, you know, the thing that I have personally effects on is search traffic.
Mm-hmm.
The overall marketing campaign has the referrals, the direct traffic, you know, the PR or something like that. You know, like you see the little boy surfer out there, you know, by the rock surfing, the three-year-old. Well, somebody's going to come in and maybe do a search for that, you know, and then how do we trap that in there?
And with... And with the city's website being the number one referral source to the MorroBay.org website, is the positioning on the link on that homepage, do you think, the issue? Or?
Well, you know, Karen, you guys fought for so long. I remember Joan, you know, talking about this over the time, is to get a decent link on the site long ago, in many years. And then when we saw it, we started tracking it, and I went backwards and tracked it, it was doing really well, you know, and it was rose to the top, you know. I mean, when you look at the number one referrer against the number two, well, MorroBay.org is really not a referrer, but go down to CCTC, you've got a factor of 6 in there, you know, and that's really critical. So the only thing I can suspect is the Morro Bay City site is just getting less visitors. I mean, it makes logical sense. Unless the positions change. If the position changes, and that's us to watch out for, and hopefully sit there and say, City, give us some more love.
Thank you.
Karen, you are right. I mean, in the sense of if we've got an ongoing campaign, those searches are going to be increased. We'll be able to monitor that, though, more by referral sources. So if we do something in, as you're aware, in San Jose Mercury or LA Times, we can see that needs to become a top referral source. But if we're creating action, if we're creating visibility, especially if there's a story that runs, there's going to be more direct searches. And that's another reason why you have the media plan before you, so we can, you know, get that moving. But that would have a factor. And then I think also another thing that Rick didn't mention that I just want to mention is that in the past, MoralBay.org had the number one position when you search Moral Bay. Right now, the city has that. And we're working on trying to reverse that. So MoralBay.org becomes the top searched. It shows up first on Google position, because then you're not going to be as dependent upon the city for referral site, for referral sources. It'll always be a big one. It always is in every DMO. Pismo it is, all the other cities, but we want to get MoralBay.org at the top.
So real quick, I had a question from the audience. Is on the referral pages, the four columns, what's the source of the full four columns? The referrals from the hotel page is basically on your hotel page, you have all of the listings with the little images and the link to the website. That's, if anybody clicks on that, go to the website, that shows up under the hotel page. The special page is obviously the specials. We have the same outbound link tracking. Currently, there's 11 different properties that are offering specials, and that's where you can see that in the, and actually we just added the breakers in at the very end of the month, and I tested it, and that's where that one came from. That one's from me. Okay. The mobile site is the same thing. You've got a hotel page on the mobile site. If anybody clicks on any of those mobile listings from that source, that's what shows up there. And Jackrabbit is obviously your booking engine. So if somebody goes in and tries to book a stay and views the Embarcadero Inn and then clicks on that to go over to the Embarcadero Inn website, that's where that comes from. So hopefully that explains it all.
Does. Quickly, quick question on that. So they land on the hotel page.
Yes.
Or actually, they go into lodging.
Lodging.
They click
that,
into
yes.
lodging, and it says hotels,
yes.
bed and breakfast, RV vacation rentals, campgrounds. So now we're calling that the hotel page? Is that what the name of that is here? Or do they actually click through to the hotel page?
They actually click through to the hotel page. I am not tracking the vacation rentals or anybody
else. Okay, so
else
they've
right
been
now.
On the they're on the home lodging page now.
Right.
So now they've clicked through to this hotel page.
And then
and they see on their specials and deals, but they also see on their Jackrabbit. So, but this Jackrabbit includes, when they click on that front lodging page, they may click immediately through to Jackrabbit.
Or any place else on the website, Joan.
That they
it could
click
be
through.
At an event. And, oh, I want to stay for the Harbor Festival. I need to book a room.
Okay.
So that it's available. We try to give them as many paths possible to the same thing, your websites.
Gotcha.
And so this, I break this down. I think this is a really good thing to see everything isolated, like the specials page against Jackrabbit, against the mobile thing, because then we might want to work on a mobile page or something like that down the road.
Because Jackrabbit is only 1,000 clicks less-ish, roughly, or 900, less than the home hotel page.
Yeah, and I find that's fairly true, that Jackrabbit mm-hmm. keeps its own. And
yeah,
Pismo,
hangs in there.
Pismo's about 2-to-1 for Jackrabbit mm-hmm. over
okay.
lodging, but it's been doing it a little bit uh-huh. differently. But anyway, any other questions? And I'll bring Casey up, and then I'll come back for the website subcommittee. Yeah, John, what do you got?
I think I'm probably way behind the curve for everybody else here a bit, so pardon me if my question's kind of stupid. But when I'm playing around with a PC at home, and it seems to me like the goal is first is to get the customer, the potential customer, to MoralBay.org. Is that correct?
That's the first step.
Because when I, you know, when I search and I type in Central Coast Motel, I get centralcoast.com or something
yeah.
like that comes up for
yeah.
and a whole bunch of stuff, and it's hard to find MoralBay.org
right.
because MoralBay wasn't put in the search, the words were put in the search.
Yeah, that
vice versa. If I type in MoralBay Hotels, I get centralcoast.com is the first name that generally comes up, and that's using Yahoo. How do we get MoralBay.org to the top of the list, either when somebody types in keywords that include the words MoralBay, or just types in West Coast hotels, Central Coast hotels, lodging on the coast? How do you get MoralBay.org?
Those are pretty general searches, John, and those are hard to really affect, because the TripAdvisors of the world, the Hotels.com of the world, they dominate that. And one of the things that we try to come up with is MoralBay Hotels. I try to play as high up as I can, but I'm also competing against all the constituents at that point in time. And there could be pay-per-click going on ahead of me and other things like that. I try to play in the other searches like MoralBay Lodging, MoralBay Motels, MoralBay Dog Friendly, Morro Bay events, Morro Bay dining, those kinds of things where I can feel that I can do a good job and not compete and push the constituents out of the play. Right now, Pismo Beach Hotels, I'm way down the list for Classic California because all the other ones are doing such a good job, and our main job is to try to drive traffic through Morro Bay to Karen's website. Okay, and so I don't want to take away from Karen's ability to get them direct because, as you know, you're going to lose 10, 15, 20% of your audience for every click down you got to go. Does that help you, John?
Yeah, a lot.
So bring Casey up now.
Did we have any other comments? I know we had a comment from the public, so I'll open. I'm going to go ahead and do, I think I can do this, that I can just open it up for public comment
sure.
in each section, each item. So I'm going to open it up for public comment because I see a question out there in the public.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And, yes, I will make it very simple. On the website, the hotel listings, are they rotating? And also on the specials, are the listings for the specials rotating? And would that account for some hotels having higher clicks than others?
Okay, and I'll let Rick come up and answer that.
Good question, Johnny. As always, the hotel pays, they're randomized. The specials are not randomized, and I know one of the constituents brought that up. I played with it a little bit, and we only got 11 specials on the page. I don't think at this point in time it really needs to be randomized. And what I did do in preparation for a possible question like this is, if you look at the specials, tracking. It doesn't. You can't tell me who's at the top and who's at the bottom of the list of looking at. And then I scramble them a little bit. I pick the Embarcadero in and move it here, and pick Bayfront and move it here. Just because I'm doing it once a month, okay. And so I figured that's okay because randomizing is going to be a little bit more of an effort than that. And I looked, and through the first 10 days of September, the number 10 position property had the highest clicks through. So I'm thinking, I would suggest now the special page, it's more your wording than anything else because I think the people are reading them before they go on. So that's what I would make a recommendation on that. And if we get 20 or 30, people playing, properties playing, then it's the time to randomize. Because right now, below the fold, 9 of the 11 are below the fold on my monitor. So I don't think it's a problem. I think it's something to keep our eye on, and I think we're all aware of that.
Okay, great. Do we have any other questions from the public?
Just a quick, I did ask that, but I just want to make it public. The email blitz that hasn't happened for 2 months, we're still editing and so forth. I'd just like to know when that's happening. And number two, I don't want to contradict what Mr. Turtman said, but remember, last year, Labor Day was in September. Labor Day this year was in August. So I understand the drop in traffic a week earlier, schools going back, but I don't understand the Labor Day falling in a better month of August. So if anything, those numbers should wash each other as far as increases year on year. If anything, it should be even much higher. So I just wanted to make that as a comment.
Was that a question?
First one was.
Email blast. Email blast, I believe, did go out in August. Oh, yes, Karen.
The specials and deals, am I doing it right? The specials and deals have gone out as usual. We've never missed a month on that. As far as the database that you inquire about, we received the database not that long ago, and we've been cleaning it up ever since, and we're on top of it. It should be going out within the next couple of weeks. So we are aware of the need to do it, but it had not been cleaned up for quite some time, John.
Okay, anything further from the public? Okay, I'm going to close public comment for that item. And thank you, Rick, for your report. And then we'll bring up Casey for social media.
Good morning. I'm Casey Knighton. I have a social media report for you. And I have some. I don't think you guys have copies, do you? It's pretty straightforward, so I'll just go over it. What I've been doing is continuing to create that engagement with the fans, liking and commenting and interacting with them, and utilizing the hashtags on Facebook with hashtag Morro Bay or hashtag Harbor Festival to increase our Facebook search optimization. That way, if somebody clicks on the Morro Bay hashtag from anywhere else or searches that, we come up in that feed. And then my posts have been lodging-based, trying to increase overnight stays to come. Our fan base has increased by 300 in the last month since the last time I was here, which is a very great number. We reach about 60 to 70,000 people a week. And then if you flip on the second page, I just wanted to give you guys an example of our most popular post right now. I shared a photo from the Zongo Cup, but instead of just sharing it and saying, this is a great fan photo, I said, you know, here's a great fan photo, but you can experience this view too. Book your stay today. That post reached 72,000 people, over 72,000 people. We have a 5,500 fan base. So you can see there was over 400 photo views, 42 links back to the website, to our lodging page, 283,000 likes, 84 comments, and 293 shares. So out of our 5,500 fan base, we're still reaching over 72,000 people, which are seeing that information and looking to book here and stay in Morro Bay. And then so for Pinterest, I'm just pinning the boards of eat, stay, play, fan photos I just created to kind of showcase and create that engagement with our fans, the interaction, and then we can take photos from Facebook and post them on there and redirect traffic back to the Facebook page as well. Continue to post on Twitter, post links directly from the Pinterest page to the Twitter page, just creating that cross feedback, and replying to any direct comments from Twitter as well, and then the Instagram, which we just started, taking fan photos from there, posting event flyers or event details, and just continuing to monitor that. And then also I've been on the TripAdvisor page updating the events and specials and have a conference call with the guy from TripAdvisor next week to discuss, once the budget is approved, we'll be discussing the further contract with him and how to keep going with that.
Great. Thank you, Casey. Does anybody have any questions for Casey?
Hi, Casey.
Hi.
Excuse me. I'm not sure if you know that there's a blogging section at TripAdvisor, mm-hmm. and I've talked about this multiple times over the past probably year. On that blogging section, if you just sign up to be a TripAdvisor user, you can go in there and blog. There's a couple of people on there who are prolific bloggers for the Central Coast, and they may actually belong to an advertising firm. I'm not sure. One is named Kibble's Mom, and it's a picture of a cat. You'll recognize it when you see it. It's a tabby. And in any case, when somebody pops on, they say, hey, I'm driving from, say, San Francisco to Los Angeles, and I need a Midway place. That, you can become flagged for anything that's Central Coast or Monterey, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, it can key you into that and send you a thing that somebody asked this question. Well, Kibble's Mom is going back, and other bloggers are going back for other destinations, and they're saying, oh, no, don't stay in Morro Bay. Stay in Cayucas. No, no, don't. You want to stop in Pismo Beach. You want to stop in, whatever, San Luis Obispo at the farmer's market on that mm-hmm. Thursday night. And so I'm wondering if we've looked at blogging on that site and maintaining a presence there, or if you could check that out and maybe bring us back some information on that.
Yeah, definitely.
After you talk to them at TripAdvisor.
It's not something that I'm currently doing right now, but I definitely can look into it, and I'm more than happy to do that and speak with our rep at TripAdvisor and ask him about how I can
Because
get
obviously
on there.
That site, when people are going to that site specifically, that's going to boost revenue to the hotels. Because yeah. they're specifically looking at that point to book. And so anything we can do, yeah. anything we can mm-hmm. do while they're there to capture them is, I think, beneficial to stakeholders.
Definitely.
Thank you. And I look forward to hearing about that next month.
Okay. Nick, any questions for Casey? Karen?
Nope.
John? No. Thank you, Casey.
Thank
Great
you.
Report. Thank you very much. Rick, do you have anything else on website?
Just on the website,
so if you're
getting different
Yeah. So what we will do then, we're going to go ahead and close website status report, and then we will move to the next item, which is website subcommittee report and recommendation regarding the media buy. We'll give our recommendation, our report, and then we'll possibly ask Rick up for questions. Joan, I'm going to let you read the report.
We met as a good morning, everyone. We met as a website subcommittee multiple times and had multiple discussions and decided that might be best to bring back a couple of recommendations to the board for their selection and tweak and adjustment and or not, whatever the board's decision is. So the website subcommittee consists of member Hawkes, member Amini, who I wish were here, and myself. So the recommendation to the board is that you review the ideas and particulars regarding the website subcommittee's recommendations, including our budget, monthly fee schedules, alternative solutions, research, and estimate approach time guidelines. Alternative one, there's two alternatives for you to think about and consider. Alternative one, in regards to maintenance, would be we recommend spending $1,500 a month at 12 months, a total of $18,000 per year, which is about $10,000 less than the budgeted line item. Two, reserve the $8,000 to $10,000 for purchase of the website domain name, commonly known as morrobay.org. Three, use the funding from the research budget line, $5,000, to hire an outside firm to develop and do a comprehensive analysis and create a long-term strategy for our Morro Bay web needs with the focus of moving towards a cloud-based single population technology that would reduce our costs in terms of postings to all of our social medias. It would populate everything simultaneously. Five, Bureau Director to return to board in November with three research firms for board selection in order to go out and create a comprehensive strategy for us for the future years. Six, the firm will research and create a comprehensive plan and return it to the outside research to us by February 2014. This falls into the timeline. Seven, we would make a selection for the plan and platform, or to begin implementation of parts of the plan in March 2014, and then work with the current vendor to move the information to any plan, including moving to a new platform if decided, and the company would house and optimize the site that was selected through the Tourism Bureau. And then nine, completion of platform move, internal bureau staff would handle the information population of the sites, the web, social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those things. Alternative two? Is that okay? Okay. Alternative two, release the full $28,000 budget funding for current selected vendor, not to exceed $2,333 per month in funding. Two, use the funding from the research budget line of $5,000 to hire a firm to develop a comprehensive analysis and a long-term strategy for our website needs with a focus on possibly moving or not based on their recommendations, coming up with the most comprehensive technology at an affordable rate. Three, the Bureau Director to return to the board in November with three research firms for the board selection. Four, firm would research and create a comprehensive plan and return it to the board by February. And the board can implement the plan following the plan during the remaining months or in the 2014-2015 fiscal year budget process. There would be no reserve. Six would be there would be no reserve at that with this plan for the domain name. The fiscal impact of plan one, the fiscal year 2013-2014 would be $18,000 for the website management through June 2014, plus $5,000 from the research line, a total of $23,000, plus a reserve put aside of $8,000 to $10,000 for a domain name purchase if needed. Although
when we printed this, we had not received the other report, so we had no idea what the fiscal impact of the domain name purchase would be. Now we have that report in hand. And the impact of Plan 2 was that for fiscal year 2013-14, $28,000 for website management through 2014, plus $5,000 from the research line, a total of 33. No reserve for the domain name purchase. That was unknown at that time, and so we would have to figure out where we would come up with that. And that concludes our report, and I guess we'd have the chair open it up for discussion.
So everybody should have received that report. We kind of went through some different options as a website subcommittee because we were really struggling. So that's why we came up with some different alternatives. I'm going to go ahead and open this up for discussion, and we'll just go around the room. I do want to remind us all we're on a little bit of a time thing today. We need to try to technically be out of here. AGP needs the space and everything by hopefully noon. So I just want to remind everybody we want to try to get through this quickly. Nick, I'm going to start with you.
Well, there's a lot here to kind of
absorb, digest,
yes. And but if we could back up a little bit, we're looking to what we want to do with the future of the website and the domain name.
Yeah, let me kind of sum this up instead of just the report. I think it'll be easier. Basically, we were tasked with looking at morobay.org, and I think the original funding in the budget was $6,000, and they came back and said we're going to need more money than that. I think it was to the tune of $28,000. So we were tasked with looking at what other entities do to maintain their websites. And one thing we had been looking at was a cloud technology functionality, because it's just technology. We wanted to look at what the future is. I think we all know we've batted our heads with the website up and down for several years. And with the cloud technology, it populates things multiple. You go in and you put it in one spot and it populates it everywhere else automatic. It's a software system. So it was something we were just kind of interested in. I'll go into my own personal discussion, but that's a little bit of the background. So that's why before us now is just kind of some of the different options about going to an iCloud or staying with what's existing, and that was why there was kind of a couple of different approaches.
Additionally, it came up multiple times during our discussions. I don't think that we had a meeting where we did not turn to each other multiple times in the meeting and say, well, you know, I'm not really sure about that because I'm not a website expert. I'm not really sure about that. I'm a hotelier, and we're talking about the entire destination site. I'm not really sure about that information because this is not my, you know, believe me, I can tell you great things about bed linen and, you know, upholstery rubs per square inch, but, you know, ask me in depth about, a website, and I do my best to research it, but I'm not an expert at it. And all three of us determined that we thought that in both recommendations, a key component of the recommendation, I think, would be to bring in an expert to take a look at what our website, an outside person, a neutral person, third party, to come in and say, you know, this is what the future is, this is how you can work towards the future, these should be your goals and such. So that's why that recommendation is in there on both of those.
And I do want to remind everybody, because this is something after the fact to keep in mind, Carl Roboto, he is doing some research. And this is kind of getting into a little bit of discussion, but my recommendation would be I'd love to see Carl Roboto's report before we necessarily say we need to spend more money on research. I believe he's covering the website. I don't know how in-depth he is. So my question would be, let's see that report first. I think doing some research on the website is very, very important. I just don't know how much Carl Roboto is covering on the website. It may be we get his report. This is just my own personal recommendation, is that we may want to get Carl Roboto's report first, then make this decision about a research website. But that's my own personal discussion on that. So
well,
that's kind of a little bit of a nutshell. Basically, right now, we have to decide is, do we basically allow a budget to continue with currently spending the $2,300 a month?
Right, and that's what alternative two is, correct?
Right. Right, and exactly. Now, remember, this is month to month. It's Karen. So, you know, if Rick, for some reason, falls off the face of the earth and does a horrible job next month, we can still go in and say, Rick, we're giving you 30 days. You're not working here anymore. So I want to remind the board of that when we make these decisions. Everything, we're not on contract. None of this is contracted. This is just allowing Karen to, this is a budget. It's allowing her to continue those services with whom she chooses, and she's choosing Rick, and so far we've seen good results in the first month, but I just want to remind everybody of that too. When we make these decisions, it's a month to month for Karen to decide.
And now we kind of lean towards that as well, because we, you know, Rick's been on board just a few months and he came into a real mess, to be frank, and so he, you know, kind of, you know, trying to fix what's and continue the website to functionality. And I don't think the purchase of the domain name should be involved in this. I mean, it should be kind of a separate issue, which Alternative 2 does as well. So I would kind of lean towards that.
Okay. Joan, do you have any comments?
Sorry, not used to this system. You know, I'm not really leaning either way. I'm kind of open to hearing what the whole board has to say. I do think that we need to do some outside research, and it's not necessarily to say to look at the, it's not about looking at the website and saying this is what you're doing wrong, this is, but we've had marketing firms come in, and multiple marketing firms, as a matter of fact, at one point we were out for an RFP and they all looked at the website and they all had different ideas about the website, and everybody actually had some good things in there to say about the website and some good ideas about the website. And you could ask 70 guys on the street and they'd all have different opinions about the website, because it's like picking out clothes at Nordstrom's or Kohl's. You're going to go in and somebody's going to like a red blouse and somebody's going to like a green one. So the idea behind it was, what are the fundamental core things? What is technology turning to? What technologies do we need to be looking at and using to make sure that morrobay.org is going to be number one? I really like the research component of this, because, you know, I think you can move forward and not necessarily grasp at straws, but continue to just move forward for the sake of moving forward. But if you don't have a long-term plan, at least a 2 or 5 year plan, it's more difficult to meet your goals. You're always scrambling, you're reactive instead of proactive moving through the plan. And we've just never, in my recollection, actually had a long-term plan and goals for our technology strategy for marketing and for our website that included. So I'm strong on the component of research on this. And I understand the Carl Roboto thing, and I think we could listen to what he has to say in October and bring back the technology as an open discussion with that $5,000 item. I would recommend that, because I do believe that we need to have a plan. We should not move forward grasping all over the place.
Karen.
Okay, I'm seeing three issues on the table right now with this. We have the issue of research and development in terms of the platform, the direction of the platform. We have the issue of bumping the maintenance, SEO, upgrade portion of our budget from $6,000 to $28,000, which is being requested. And then we have the issue of purchase of domain name. In terms of the research and development, we do actually have that in budget, because our research and development with Mr. Roboto is, I think, at $5,000, and we budgeted $10,000. So that, to me, is a no-brainer. That's what we need to do, is find somebody to do that research and development and point us in the direction they think would be the best in terms of long-term use of the website for platform. The issue of maintenance going from $6,000 to $28,000, I mean, if that's what the current agency thinks we need, I can see doing that, but we need to, and maybe this will come from when the budget subcommittee re-meets, let us know where that adjustment is being, that 22,000 adjustment is being. I'm very concerned about if we go to 28 with a recommendation to not leave a reserve for domain, because I think domain is important. I don't know how long the offer is going to stay on the table. It's something that I think needs to be decided fairly quickly, although that is also coming up on the agenda, so we will have more information on that. But if the recommendation is followed, from what I understood from the discussion that took place with Michelle and John and the Chamber, the recommendation is to go ahead and buy that out at 16 grand. That's another $16,000 adjustment to the budget. So we're looking at now a total of 38,000, I think, adjustment to the budget, 22 on website maintenance and 16. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that's my concern. I can see the need for all this. I mean, obviously, if the agency thinks that's what, if Rick and John think that's what we need in terms to really push this website through, we've been over this for the last 4 years anyway. It seems like a lot to me, but, I mean, professional experience is costly, and I understand that. So those are my concerns right now, is where this moves from the budget. I don't know that that question is going to be answered today, but I also think that it's really important for Rick and John to get the go-ahead on our maintenance and SEO. So maybe not so much the domain, although that's important too, because like I said, I don't know how long that offer is going to stay on the table. So those are my concerns at this point, and that's kind of putting it in a nutshell from my point of view.
Thank you, Karen. And I did want to point, I do want to point out that the website domain is on our agenda, and that will be a topic that we will address. I think just, yeah, hopefully. So just a reminder. And then John, go ahead.
If it's okay, I mean, before I comment, I think John or Rick or both were going to give us some information about the increase from 6 to 28. What does that mean? What does it include? Before I register my opinion, I'd kind of like to hear their justification for the increase in that expense, if that would be okay with you.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
First, regarding the increase, basically, when we looked at the site and realized that there was like two things we needed to do. One, there was some substantial fall off, as you all know, to the referrals from the website to the hoteliers, and that was the first thing we wanted to try to correct, and we're in the process of doing that. The other part of that is, and I think that I just need to kind of step back at one point and say that we're not doing it haphazardly. We do have a long-term plan. When we approach the website, we're approaching it not just in correcting something for a week or for a month. We have a long-term plan for that, as we do for our other clients. And we would love to help you with that. To go out and get a third party, certainly your decision. It never hurts to have another opinion. However, I want you to feel comfortable with that we know what we're doing when it comes to websites, and that we don't just do it haphazardly. We're not just adjusting it for a week or for a month, that we have a long-term plan for you. And part of that money that would be attributed to the website, design, maintenance, would be coming to you with new ideas, new technology, so we stay on the forefront of that. And my firm, works with Pismo Beach, has for 15 years. We have an extremely successful website. We get 2,000 visits a month. We get more visits to that website than anybody else in the entire county. And Rick is the mastermind behind that, and Casey is the social media person. We feel like we could do those same things for Morro Bay again. So I want you to be comfortable with that we do have a plan, that we are looking at the long term, and that would be a part doing for you. It's important, and as we talked about with the websites, unfortunately, really about every 2 years a website needs a full revamp, because it's not so much because of the colors or the design, it's because of the technology. If you look at mobile and how much we're getting with mobile, I mean, if we didn't get in there and correct that, I'm not saying correct it, you already had a mobile site, but get in there and enhance it and continue to enhance it and go with the new technologies, the sites become extinct within a couple of years if there's no tweaking done. So that's part of the reason, again, for to answer your question, Karen, about the increase in expenditure. I did give provided Karen Karen Moss with some budget numbers for other cities, and you know, Wine Coast Country spends upwards of $40,000-$50,000 on their website per year. Pismo Beach spends over $70,000. And in that $70,000 is also a redesign, so I want to say that. That's not necessarily a yearly budget. But, again, all the other clients and Central Coast Tourism Council, we're on retainer for them just to maintain the site for $1,500 a month. And so, you know, that kind of gives you an idea of the budget parameters for that. The website, in my opinion, and I think I've shared this with you, it's certainly been in the past, and I would think the board would agree, is the most important component of your whole marketing efforts, because that's where we're driving all the media that we spend, all of the PR, everything is going to focus back to the website, because that's where we sell them. That's where we get them to book a room. That's where we get them to decide that Morro Bay is the place that they want to come and spend their vacation. So it's crucial that the website is functioning perfectly as it can, and also that it's user-friendly and that it has the most up-to-date technology. And we would, as part of your contractor through that time period, we would be bringing you new ideas along the way, not just simply maintaining the site as it is. But Rick's going to tell you a little bit about the whole cloud aspect, and I think he's got some good news there for you. Yes?
I just thought of something as we were as you were talking. I know a lot of what when we had our budget subcommittee, we had talked about was content and SEO, mm-hmm. and refresh of website, mm-hmm. this year, mm-hmm. and that's built into our $28,000 mm-hmm. budget. Is this going to be an ongoing $28,000 budget year after year then, or do you think perhaps in the upcoming years it could drop a little bit, or how do you see that playing out?
I think it would be fairly consistent, to be honest. Whether it would be that exact amount, I think you're always going to have that be a line item that's going to be fairly significant. I think that it will change. There will be different things that we will do, and again, the technology sort of dictates that. But again, with that, it's not just maintenance. We probably ought to take that word out. It's web administration and web growth. I mean, it's really all about us having the opportunity to be there every month for you and give you the new ideas. And Rick, you know, studies these stats and makes those tweaks that are necessary. And we want to do them, and you know, before it gets to be a problem. I think the biggest thing we need to look at right now is moving MorroBay.org up on Google, so you're not so reliant on your most number one referral site, which seems to be waning for some reason. And I think we should do some research on that. You know, get with the city and find out, you know, what's happening, because those kinds of things that happen along the way could be really significant. Rick mentioned Wine Coast Country. When Hearst Castle decided to take Wine Coast Country's banner off of the homepage because other people complained, quite frankly, you know, they lost you know, a significant amount of referrals. So we had to replace that with pay-per-clicks initially till we could get the SEO up. And what we did there, and this is another reason I bring this up, would be an example of what we might do for Morro Bay, creating special landing pages, doing all of these different things that are going to help us with solving those problems. But the main intent for us is that we get as many referrals to the hoteliers as possible. It's not lost on us that that's the constituency. That's who needs to benefit the most. And through that, then, drop downs to dining and activities and everything else that people want to enjoy here. So if you like, I can bring Rick up.
Why don't we bring Rick, and then that way, yeah.
Okay. Besides doing stats, I'm the guy that does all the inventive technology looking into the future type of things. And my window is usually about 2 years. I can't look out 5 years. The technology changes too quick. I can show you some things that are in my laboratory right now that you have never seen before, and that I'm rolling them out for some of the DMO websites. And that's one of the things that we kind of bring to the table. is we have so much DMO experience. I have had it since 94, and so there's not a lot of people with that kind of credentials around that could stand in front of you and give you the best advice possible that's out there. I mean, other person could come off the street and say this and this about the website, but it's a DMO website, and that's a specific character that you really need to, I think, have an experience. So there's a couple of insights I think hopefully I can give to you that can offer some clarity to what's on the table in front of you. Cloud technology. Okay, the cloud. The cloud basically means it's on the web someplace, quite simply. And there's not really a good definition of cloud technology, but I'll try to give you some examples. Dropbox. What do you go? You go onto a website, you log in, you deal with their app, you upload files, you download files. Basically, to me, cloud technology means that you don't keep your files on your system. It's in the cloud. Okay, now let's look at morrobay.org in relation to a cloud. It's in a cloud. It's on a website. You go in. You have an app. It's called WordPress. For me to make a change or Peter to make a change, we log into the app and make the changes. So technically, you're already in a cloud-based technology. Now, the mention is single population technology or broadcast technology or whatever. With WordPress, it's firing up a plugin, basically the rebroadcast. I could do that before I leave this room. But then it comes with an overhead. Okay, so I'll try to explain it really fast because I think that what you're trying to do is populate social media from a cloud-based whatever. Okay, you have the capabilities. But what happens is then you have to have somebody that's doing the post because it's post-broadcast, okay? So somebody that's doing the post would sit there and say, okay, this is going to go out to Facebook and Twitter. And so you have to manage it that way. You put a post up, and it would broadcast out. But you can't do that same post to Pinterest because Pinterest is looking for imagery. You can't do it for YouTube because YouTube's looking for a video. So you have to have this content in front of you. Then you could broadcast. It's really easy. Once the plugin is there, it's saying I'm doing a text broadcast. I check Google+. I check I check Facebook. I check Twitter. Boom. Push the button, out it goes. You got to remember, though, Twitter is only going to take 140 characters, and Facebook might play with the link a little weird, so you've got to have some experience. So there's got to be something that's got to have this in their, basically, that's their destination to do this. Now, right now, your morrobay.org is more CMS, content management system, than a blogging platform. It has the capabilities of blogging. It just hasn't been used. Okay, the last blog post is in May of this year. So in other words, if you really want to play with content, you can go into the blogging part of it, fire that up on a consistent basis with a program, with a strategy, tactics, and goals in mind. That way you can really affect, the content and the searches. If you want to do something and you put an article out for Harbor Festival, and you post it out, and you could affect a search return back for 2013 Harbor Festival or 4th of July, because that's what people are looking for. In my experience with, and I run probably 40 of these blogs in different aspects, is 4th of July or events. They're really close to coming in to making their reservations or their trips, and they look for this information, and they're going to do a search, 4th of July, Morro Bay. Where do I find it? Well, maybe the 4th of July committee is doing a great job, but it doesn't mean that morrobay.org couldn't do a post on the 4th of July. Or like John said, some of the things that I would recommend looking at the website, and we're thinking about using this and proposing this to you out of that maintenance money, is do landing pages for your main events. For the Harbor Festival, for that. And then your funding comes in and they promote to that landing page, which then we send out to the Morro Bay Harbor Festival website. We do link tracking on that. We can see how well our promotion is done to get people to that page where our lodging stuff is. Now, fortunately, I had some input with the Morro Bay Harbor Festival website, and we put the lodging links, the booking engine, on their pages, on their sidebar, which fed over to the morrobay.org. That's something I would do for anybody that stands in front of you that wants event money, is saying, okay, but here's our embed code for our booking system right there. And, what better can we do that? Very cheap. So, we've got plenty of these ideas, but I just wanted to let you know that you've already got a cloud-based technology. You're just not leveraging it like what the committee is recommending is to do broadcast. Now, whether that has a good ROI to the constituents that are collecting the assessments, that are paying for all this, that's a whole other conversation. And we have a lot of experience in researching out. So you could always come to us. The committee could come to us or me personally and say, hey, here's what do you think of this? And I'll give you my best opinion, regardless of what, you know, how it's going to affect whether we're working or not working with you. So anyway, hopefully I cleared up, gave you a little more clarity on this. One of the things is to keep the DMO experience really close to your heart, because, like I said, as John's referred to, we've repaired some stuff that people didn't have any business messing around with DMOs because they just didn't have a clue of what it meant. So I'm sorry, John.
I just wanted to add that a good example of what Casey just presented to you earlier, where we do want to customize, you know, the broadcast out is a good thing, but as Rick said, you know, there's different formats for all of that, so there has to be somebody administering all that. But a good example of always still having that independence there was when Casey put that tweak on about lodging. You know, those are the things that you want to still hold back on. But I will tell you from a budgetary, since we're talking about the budget, and I've talked with Rick about this, so included in the amount you're considering, the $28,000, we could go ahead within those funds, no additional cost, set up this cloud-based system, work with Karen's team to establish how we would do this broadcasting out, and we could get it going.
Awesome. Okay.
So anybody has any questions for me on what I just said out there? I threw out a lot at you. I'm sorry. But hopefully, like I said, it's just for clarity purposes.
Well, no, and I think it's it's a lot for us to all absorb. It does, because I've been very confused on this cloud technology. So before I go to John, oh wait, sorry, go ahead, John. Yeah, and then I'll go to public comment.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
both you guys. I'm inclining to agree with the way Karen summarized this whole thing of the three components. So addressing it in the same way she addressed it, the domain name, it's coming up later, so we put that one aside. So we've got really kind of a research and look into the future issue, and we've got a website. What are we going to do with it and maintain it today? And I guess I'm feeling rich today or something like that, because I'm feeling like buying everything here. But
well, wait a minute.
I think as Karen said, there's another $5,000 sitting in our research budget for this year, and I would like to say that I think we should take probably half of the $10,000 or the $5,000 every year and buy some research to help us on the website, and we almost ought to just institutionalize that. So we're getting a third party independent view of where we should be going in technology going forward. And I would expand it beyond website, and I would expand it to technology to, you know, include the mobile website, or to include an app if that becomes part of it, and cloud technology and the whole thing. So to me, that's a no-brainer. It's in the budget. Let's just do that part of it. As far as the $6,000 to $28,000 to $22,000 that John and Rick are talking about, I'm under the impression that the website is so important that we can't just let this thing lie dead in the water. So we almost have no choice but to take the recommendation. And the recommendation sounds pretty solid to me. There's work to be done. As I think Joan pointed out, or Michelle, I'm not sure, you know, we can start this off, and 6 months from now, if we're not happy with the results, we're on a month to month, we can pull the cord at any time down the road. Experience so far has been good, so I'm not suggesting that would be the possibility, but there's a safety valve there in the event we're not happy with the results. So I'd be inclined to go ahead and approve the increase in the website budget from the 6 to 28. Stop calling it maintenance, as John suggested, because it's maintenance and it's development, ongoing kind of thing. Funding for the thing, the website, we currently basically look at it as one-third comes from regional marketing and two-thirds comes from destination marketing. On the one, and instead of 22, let me just call it 21,000 because it divides much easier. 7,000 of that would, 7,000 and change would come from
They have right now a $56,000 budget for total for media. The rest goes to, you know, their portion of artwork and production and all that. Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. The website management side of theirs.
The budget you guys are looking at before you is the proposed budget, which if you look at it, it has 9,000 under regional media, and it has 20. So some of these changes were already made by the budget subcommittee with the assumption that this would get approved. So if you guys look at your new media budget, the dollars on here, I believe, come to $27,000. So we're $1,000 off.
Right. This was the new media budget that was just supplied to us from TJA. This came out of discussions in our subcommittee meeting to come back. So this is how they would divide it. But John is saying it's seven to divide fairly.
So it's really, if you look at this, it's only a $1,000 difference. If we took these recommendations and approved
right,
these recommendations.
Right, but jumping from 6 to 28 overall, as Member Biagini has noted, has to come out of someplace from our original budget that was approved in June, for the start of July. And they are suggesting that this is how we do this. And, you know, that does reduce our media by, just so we understand where that's coming from, that's coming out of direct advertising dollars, I believe is what the point that is being made.
Yeah, I think just to pick up on what Joan said, I think it would be easier if we looked at our approved budget from last June. What we've got in front of us from Rick and John is their recommendations and how we do it. But we have to make the changes from our originally approved budget.
I do have a copy of that. Hang on. I guess I could pass the computer around. Hang on one second.
Questions?
So many budgets open right now.
Okay, so give us a minute while everybody's looking through. Does everybody understand what they're looking at?
If I could, the original budget, we had, there's
here it is.
Two changes, as Karen B. pointed out. The other is in social media, which is, I think, an increase of 20,000 in total social media.
It's right here.
And the other increase was an error that I made. There is, how much should we go on the billboard? We went, how much,
oh, yeah,
Karen,
billboard.
Did we? We went to
3, which should have said 6, to 10.
Okay, so while everybody's looking at their numbers, so what I'm, because of time, I'm going to kind of wrap what I'm hearing, and then I'm going to hope for a motion. What I'm hearing is we are feeling like we should approve the $28,000. You're all going to look at figuring out exactly where it needs to come out of, but we would approve the $28,000 for web, and I don't want to say maintenance because we said that wasn't the best word for it, but along those lines of optimizing, maintaining, talking with the iCloud, moving into that. And then I'm hearing a lot about research, that we would maybe want to have some independent research done. And I think we are going to address the domain name as a separate entity. So it looks like that's the consensus I'm hearing.
Correct. And I'd like to hear us actually change the name of web from web maintenance to that catchy slogan that John Sorgenfrey came up with. What was that, John? What did you call it? How about website operations? Website, what was it?
Web
administration development. Good one. Thanks. See, I knew we could count on you. Good job catching it on the fly.
Okay, so we all agree, let's change the name. We like administration better.
I think that helps us to open up our minds when we look at that line, as well as the public to understand what that line actually means in terms of the budget.
Can I open it up for public comment?
You know, the thing, you know, looking at spending $6,000 annually on maintenance for a website that's so critical to, you know, to what we're doing and to how people, you know, contact us or make or find Morro Bay. You know, it's just, you know, $500 a month is woefully, I mean, that, and budget, you know, as you go through the year, you need to kind of make changes. It's dynamic. It's not etched in stone. So that's kind of what we're doing here. You know, we're you know, massaging it so we can optimize.
As a board, we're willing to make these changes to upgrade these to increase funding in these three categories. And if the board is ready, I don't know if there's any more discussion on this, then we can make a motion, I would think.
What I did want to say, I want to open for public comment because I forgot I have to open for public comment on every item. And it looks like the public is not here. So I just want to officially, yeah, we'll let John do a public comment announcement.
I think Karen's suggestion's very good. I think we need to go back to the budget subcommittee. I would need that. I'd like to have that direction, so to go back, and then we finally come up with a final. And maybe the board would, give that authority so we can fine-tune it, and then we can move forward. Because we do need to start placing media here fairly soon, too. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, which is what's next on there. So we've opened up to public comment. John came and made that comment. Looks like there's no other further public comment. So I'm going to close public comment, and then now I can hear a motion.
Okay, so I would move to make amendments to our budget adopted in June to where we increase website by $22,000, website maintenance management by $22,000. I'm sorry, not maintenance. Administration management by $22,000. We increase the line item of social media by $5,000 and increase the line item of billboard by $8,000 so that our website goes to, line item goes to $28,000. This is overall. This isn't break. I'm not getting into breakdown between regional and destination. Social media goes to $15,000 and billboard goes to $11,000, I think, which was the requested amount.
I'll second that.
Okay, we're going to open up the floor. Any further discussion?
Just so I understand, the budget subcommittee is going to decide how it gets divided between regional and destination and what it's going to and report back to the board. Gotcha. Done.
Any further discussion?
Well, just back to these recommendations that we had, the alternative two. Basically, what we're doing is line under alternative two, we're doing line one and line two. What about the other comments about or suggestions about the research firm and that kind of thing? You want to just leave that for another time? Or
I personally would like to see the research come back as a separate motion.
Okay.
I'd like to see the research come back in October. No, I'd like to know that conversation will be on our October agenda. That agenda will follow our special October 3rd meeting, and then we can discuss there if we gleaned what we needed for the website and feel comfortable with that, or determine at that point whether we want for the research.
All right. That clears. That's fine.
Okay, perfect. Any further discussion before I call for vote? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Great. Good job, guys. Got through it. Okay. moving on. I think now we can take, so the presentation and approval of the 12-month media plan, I think we can bring that forward now because we had opened that and now John commented. And so I think now we need to go back to that and get that approved.
Yeah. Okay.
Hopefully this won't take as long. I think this will be a little bit simpler. So as you'll see, we already have the regional media budget and the destination media budget. I think we all know how critical it is. We get some media buy going. We are in September now and need to get media buy going. So that's what this is before us. So I think I'm going to start with my left this time because I see Nick still over there working. So I'm going to start with John.
I think subject to the changes that we have just discussed, which the budget committee is going to come back with, I mean, I'm ready to go ahead and vote to approve the media buy as presented.
Perfect. And I think we need to understand that. There'll be a few little tweaks. But we need to get this approved so they can do their job. Without this approval, they can't do their media buy. So, Karen.
No comment.
No comment.
I do have a comment, since we're here. I'm looking at TripAdvisor, and I see $25,000 on the TripAdvisor line. And I'm wondering, is that, Karen, are you aware, is that just for our destination page, or will we be spending $25,000? It doesn't look like it's delineated into any specific month, which makes me think that it's not banner ads, and banner ads work really effectively for the hoteliers, and that's where people are going to book. And I would hope that we would be including some banner ads in our media buy. So maybe you can answer that, because I think that's super important. It is, isn't that 20?
So Monterey couldn't run a banner ad on Morro Bay's site and try to steal from that, so which they do.
Okay, don't go very far, because I do have another question that came up. Thanks for sticking around.
Sure.
The California Visitors Guide Co-op, VCB there. I see the California Visitors Guide, and you were the one who was able to secure such a terrific placement right across from the table of contents, which they kept to be one of our referring sites that continually shows up, and I think largely in part due to that ad. That print ad has been successful for us, but I don't really see it budgeted in here. And I'm wondering, is it your recommendation that we discontinue that ad, or?
Yeah, that ad is already actually it's part of a co-op that you did with the VCB. So instead of having your own dedicated ad, it's an ad that is in a co-op page with the VCB.
So it's no longer next to the table of contents.
Right.
Okay. All right, that's what I want to know.
Okay. But that is something that, you know, we could right now think about for next year, because we'd want to let them know if that's something you wanted to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, Nick?
You know, I don't have any specific question, but just overall, what we're spending here, does that include, you know, the increase we've had in our tourism dollars, or is there like a cushion in there is there a chance that there'll be money left over because of an increase?
Are you asking about cash flow?
Well, yeah, but you know, I'm just wondering if these numbers include the increases we have and what we hopefully assume it'll continue.
They do include those numbers because we budget. Let me think about that question. We can only budget for what the city actually budgets us for. Meaning, no, we budget for a higher for our projection. Go ahead, John. Weigh in on this.
Yeah,
you're talking about cash flow.
The assumption on the budget page that we approved, because we had not finished 2013 yet, so we assumed 2013 was going to be up 9%, was actually up 10%, so we started a little bit low base, but we assumed the 2014 revenues assessment would be up 10%.
Okay.
That's what's in the budget, 10%.
All right, I just wanted to see where we were as far as that goes.
And if
Which
I could
is why we leave that contingency cushion, by the way.
Okay.
And also, too, and we've had these discussions in the past when my firm was involved, we're not going out and committing, you know, that like tomorrow all this money's gone and it's spent. You know, if there's, and we're not going to anticipate any of that, but if there was some sort of downturn that we unexpectedly, we can still cancel media and do things.
Okay.
I mean, some is going to be committed for, but the majority, you know, we go along, and there are areas that we would be able to cut if we had to cut back on.
Just remember, this is a fluid document, just like always. So, and then Karen.
I just had one question. I know there is under the destination or TBID spread, a line for Slo County Visitors Guide. And we've been doing an advertorial in what's called a Slo County Visitors Guide for the last, six months, something like that. But we have traditionally always done an ad in the County VCB Visitors Guide, which has also got a digital footprint. And I want to be sure that we are still going to be in the County VCB.
Yeah, that's
and
actually...
And I know this is for the county.
Yes,
That placement is open right now. They're
Correct.
Looking for that placement.
Right.
Okay, because I didn't... see both of them on here, and I wanted to be sure that we had the VCB's visitors' guides cover.
Right.
Okay, great. Thank
you. Yeah, that would be that item you see there.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay, any further questions or discussion before I hope to hear a motion?
Really quick, John, do you anticipate that, I mean, in the past, you know, when we first worked with you the first year, we put $100,000 in contingency. And the second year, it was $60,000 in contingency. We brought our contingency down to $30,000 this year, and this is the first time we're dealing with the cash flow. And typically what we've used contingency for in the past is some great media sale.
Yeah,
that
we used
comes
to call
along.
It fire sale.
Yeah, fire sale.
One.
That's
another
right.
One of those
fire,
terms
the fire
we
sale.
Nobody
yeah.
outside of us understood what that meant.
Yeah,
so.
The fire sale. And I'm, you know, contingency for us is kind of a buffer this year. So I just want to make sure that we're all aware that in the contingency overall, I'm hoping that we're really conservative when we spend that, and that if you do find some great fire sale, you recognize that, you know, we want to have a healthy balance of purchase, but also
sure.
a healthy balance of conservation.
You know, we've also talked about increasing
the changes in social media, website, billboard, and social media.
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Peter, did you get that? Okay, just checking.
Okay, any further discussion? We're going to go for vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries, 5-0.
Go shopping, John.
Thank you. Thank you, John, too. Thank you. I know it's been a lot of work getting us to this point, so thank you. Okay, where are we at on time? We will move... I know the executive director's report wanted to be moved up. Does anybody want to make a motion that we move the executive director's report up for time in case, or we can battle the morobay.org? Okay, let's battle morobay.org. Okay. So, well, actually, what's technically next is continued discussion and approval of a proposed policy for reimbursement to hoteliers who provide complimentary. I'm afraid that could take a little while. That's why. Okay,
yeah,
so I can have a motion.
I move that we move agenda item
8
to be heard next.
Second.
Discussion? None. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, so we will listen to continued discussion, consideration, and negotiation of morobay.org website domain ownership. I am still on. I will turn it over to John Myers to give a little bit of a... You want me? I'll do the recap. I'll make it quick. As you all remember, at the last few meetings, we've been talking about this $16,000 the Chamber of Commerce has requested for us to purchase the domain name morobay.org at the price of $16,000. The board had requested, and I think requested, that John Myers and I meet with the Chamber of Commerce to make sure that there wasn't any misunderstanding about trying to share that website. We sent you all a report. John Meyer sent everybody a report for a little bit of the background and our recommendations. I'm not going to reread the report now for time. Long story short, there was no misunderstanding. So after meeting with them, they definitely want the money of $16,000. And basically the biggest thing is they want economic development to have its own face. They do not want any... mix of who's doing what. They want to be able to have economic development be for economic development, and I completely understand that. And we really want morobay.org to be for the visitors and be visitor-serving and be for that. So I think in the best interest of both parties, it's best that we part ways. We will have very, very prominent links going back and forth. We need to rely on each other. As we all know, economic development is a huge part of Morro Bay, and tourism is a huge part of that. So I think both parties recognize that, but we do want our own little faces for those websites. So our recommendation is to purchase the $16,000 and kind of move forward and get this behind us. So that is our recommendation.
Michelle, looking at the budget, may I?
Yes.
Michelle, looking at the budget... And, we all know the budget. Looking at the budget, where do you recommend we take the $16,000 from? And I'm sure Member Myers has a suggestion.
I was just going to say, I'm going to turn that one over to John.
The first thought was that we split it one-third regional marketing and two-thirds destination marketing. And there's really not a magic behind that number. It's kind of how much is the website value to regional versus destination. There's value to both. If you want to make it 50-50 or something else, there is no magic to that number. But it's recommended at one-third, two-thirds, two-thirds being destination. The thinking here also is, what you see is not in the recommendation, is that we turn the website over to the city. We're recommending that this become an asset of the Tourism Bureau. So if ever down the road...
No.
What?
Not turning it over to the city.
Not turn it over to the city.
It becomes an asset of the Bureau. If ever down the road, the city decided not to keep the assessment funds going or did something to take us apart, at that point we would sell the asset probably back to the city and hopefully 5 years from now get $30,000 for it. The other reason for that, there's actually a couple other reasons. One is if we arrange for the city, for us to buy it and donate it to the city, then we need a purchase contract with the chamber and then an arrangement with the city where we donate it and they accept the asset. And then we also have a contract where the city negotiates with us and assigns us to manage the website going forward. If we do it that way, we have to go out and get outside counsel because city's counsel would be representing the city and could not represent us.
Purchase the domain name as a Tourism Bureau board, and we retain the rights to that, that the city is in no better position than they were in with the chamber in terms of using taxpayer funding to purchase or to maintain an asset that they don't own. The city would no more go out and purchase a fire engine or I guess put $300,000 or $400,000 into a fire engine that they didn't own that somebody else owned and drove up and down the road. I think that the domain name, while it's not a tangible thing that you can hold on to like a candy cane, it is very tangible in terms of the economy to the city. I think that if any regional dollars are used at all, that it should be given back to the city. I think a way around all of the attorney fees and everything that you've discussed right there is that this board here has a quarterly meeting next month, which is October, and our superior board, which is the TBID, who actually passes our funding on to us. We could make a recommendation to our TBID board that our TBID board purchase morrowbay.org from X funds, whatever the partition is that the budget subcommittee decides on, from X funds, and that we have the city actually deduct that and write the check to the chamber. The city then owns morrowbay.org, and in previous chamber contracts, there was a line that referred, when they had the visitor center and all that, in their contracts there was a line that referred to maintaining the website housed at morrowbay.org. That line could simply be inserted, we could recommend that that line or a similar line simply be inserted into the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau contract that the city has with the Tourism Bureau. From a resident perspective and a community goodwill perspective, I honestly would be more comfortable with us making a recommendation to the TBID to have that domain name purchased outright from within our overall budget, reducing our level of funding to us overall, but achieving the same goal without all of the difficulty of involving attorneys and whatnot.
Nick?
I also agree with somewhat of that. I think the bottom line is I think the city should own the website, because if, for whatever reason, if the T-bid goes away or the hoteliers decide we're not going to pay the assessment anymore, where's that website? Where's it going to go? I mean, you know what I mean? It's just going to be hanging out there. If it's an asset of the city, then, you know, the city attorney could represent, represent the city and represent if there's any issue with the website. It wouldn't cost the T-bid board anything because it would be an asset of the city. And I think the city should help purchase that, by the way, also. So that's my two cents.
Karen?
Okay, I kind of feel I agree that it should be owned by the city. I think if it is going to be owned by the city, it should be paid for by the city. I think that we do have funding from the city in the current year, but unfortunately that's going to gut regional marketing budget. It would have been easier had we been able to negotiate a time payoff, but it doesn't sound like the chamber's interested in that. So as far as I'm concerned, if we are going to purchase this, we purchase it with regional funds and then donate it back to the city, and with a memorandum of understanding that it would be managed by the Bureau. Another thought that I had, we're talking about links between websites, and I understand the Chamber and Economic Development's desire to bifurcate and create a whole new website, but I didn't see addressed the fact that we share a website now, and is their backside of the current website going away? Because I know originally when this discussion opened up, they wanted both. They wanted to stay on the backside of the current website and create a new website. So that's a question that I haven't seen addressed here. And I just saw Susan walk in, and maybe she can address that.
In our discussions, and Susan can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe there would still be a chamber button on our website. And they would, I believe, we just wanted to be clear that we had links, just like we do with the city website. That was what we agreed to.
A couple of things. One is, if we did it with regional funds, it can't be done in the T-bid, because T-bid has no regional funds.
I'm sorry. Yes, the T-bid does have regional funds.
No, it doesn't.
The Bureau.
No.
The Bureau is the contract, not the...
The Bureau has the contract for the regional funds, but the T-bid...
Passes the T-bid money to the Bureau.
The
assessment dollars to the Bureau. They do not pass through...
It could still be very easily included as a line item in the... I still think it could be very easily included in a line item as it was in the previous... previous contract.
You'd have to have, instead of the contract with the... between the city and the Bureau, you would then have to have a contract between the city and the T-bid to administer the regional funds, and a contract between the T-bid and the Bureau as those funds pass through to be managed. I think it's just complicating things.
So I realized I didn't get to comment on any of this. I do that often, sorry. So real quick, I'm going to jump in. I agree that I personally feel it needs to be gifted back to the city too. I really am very wanting to see the city serving website be for the city, and then have an agreement with the Bureau and the city that we run and maintain that current. So then that way, if the T-bid does go away or something changes down the line, the city will own that. It'll be a community serving city, visitor serving website. So my suggestion would be that it comes out of regional fund money, because it's the regional, it is for everybody. And you know, maybe though we work out in budget subcommittee, I'd be comfortable sending it to budget subcommittee, because I do think that the Bureau should put a portion into the website to help that. I like the one third, two thirds thought, because we're still using the website for us and for the hoteliers as well.
I have a thought on your thought, Michelle. We get equal monthly installments of $9,666 and change from the city for the regional marketing funds, and we could, since it's $16,000 that we're talking about, make a recommendation to them that they hold 2 months
we can choose which 2 months we'd like them to hold, and then they pay for it out of that, and then shoot it through to us on a fresh contract. We could make that recommendation.
So I think right here we've got some legality questions that we need to work through. So my recommendation today would maybe we make a motion that we agree to purchase it, and we come back to the board. We can assign it maybe to budget subcommittee to work out the legalities of their recommendations of how to legally, where the dollars should come from, where the contract should be. But at least we know we're purchasing it, so we can get that monkey off our back, move forward, and then the legalities of where the money comes and the contracts can be sent, can be brought back to the board with a recommendation. I would suggest budget subcommittee could work on this, but that would be my 2 cents. And then if we can maybe have a motion along those lines, we can get moved through this.
When you say contracts, do you mean the contract that the city owns the website?
Yes. Okay. Yes, that the city would own the website and mm-hmm. how the Bureau would administer and manage that website for the city.
Okay, so I move that, one moment please. I move that I move that we authorize the budget subcommittee to return with a recommendation to the city to purchase the domain name from regional marketing funds for ownership of the domain name to be retained by the city, and that the budget subcommittee work through the details for the contract purposes of our goal.
Before there's, or I'll second, and then could you make an amendment that it states regional and or destination? Because we may want to pull some of the money out of destination.
Okay. That's friendly. I'm friendly, too.
Okay, then I would agree to that friendly amendment. So we have a second.
You're the second, aren't you?
I seconded.
So now we're open for
discussion. Now we're open for discussion, and I see a lot of eyeballs wanting to discuss.
Could you say it again?
I actually don't think I can, but it boiled down to Peter. What did I basically said that I move that the board authorizes the budget subcommittee to look at the figures, look at the budget.
That we use regional marketing funds to do that with necessary destination, and that the budget subcommittee be charged with the responsibility of trying to figure out how to make it happen. Does that work?
Somebody slide him a quarter.
I will second that motion.
Yeah, so moved. She seconds.
Okay.
Discussion?
Discussion. Now, is there a way with the regional funds aspect of it to have the city have some financial input to it, or are we just going to just write that off? And
it is January. They have a mid-year review.
Mm-hmm.
It is something we could consider as a board going before council and requesting that the $16,000 be returned to the Bureau for mm-hmm. regional funds.
Mm-hmm.
Since we did make them an additional $290,000-something, I believe, over budget last year. So I think that is something we could definitely do, mm-hmm. and we could put that in our motion.
And I also think that if and that was going to be my suggestion, and if that is the direction the board decides to take, then this payment in the current time should definitely come from regional funds, not mm-hmm. regional and destination.
Okay. So I'm sorry?
Well, we could make a friendly amendment suggesting that the money come from, all the regional money come from regional. That way, if the city does decide to reimburse us, then we could come through that.
I'm comfortable
budget.
With that.
So I make an amendment that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just. This is going to be back to this board another 5 times before we resolve it, because, I mean, the city is not going to come up with $16,000. I think we're.
Never hurts to ask.
Okay. Fine.
Well, it's
but you're right. I think it's going to... So...
I mean, we could designate it, and we can always, like we said, with the budget, we could, if the city says no, we could go back, okay, to the one-third, two-thirds formula if we need to later down the road.
So from what I'm hearing, it sounds like everybody wants it coming out of regional. If I'm polling everybody, is that what everybody's kind
of
my consensus?
Well, in the hopes that the city would reimburse us for that, or
okay.
At least part of it.
And I'm comfortable with that. I'm just concerned for the regional dollars.
Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned for the regional dollars because actually I was at the MA meeting yesterday, the Merchants Association meeting, and Karen did a great shtick on the Shop Local campaign, and I want to make sure that, you know, taking $16,000 out of that budget is not going to gut what she has planned. And I mean, okay, we're going to have to gut some of it to get the website moving. We're going to have to gut some of it. We've got the billboard coming. We're going to, I mean, there's only so much, you know, bludgeoning you can do to something that's not very big before it keels over. And so I am concerned about completely gutting it. But, you know, I also understand John's point about the city not being able to probably give an additional $16,000. I hear John loud and clear, so I'm not sure what the right thing is.
Yeah, that to me was kind of the beauty of the Bureau owning the website, the domain name going forward. We avoid all this conversation. We avoid having to have a contract with the city. The intent is always going to be if we go away, the city's going to have the domain name. We just make life easy in the meantime.
You know, why don't we make a motion then? Why don't we just go along the lines of letting the Bureau own it with the understanding that if the Bureau goes away, it is gifted back to the city?
We have a motion on the table.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm in charge.
So
right
I think I'll call the question so we
okay,
can
so
figure out.
So we
I
have
call
a,
the question.
Yeah, okay. So we have a motion on the table. We've discussed it. I'm going to go for a vote. And then we can always readdress this motion. Don't worry about it, Peter, because I think it's going to change. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes. That's three of us.
Okay, but wait, I'm confused.
I said aye.
Aye.
I thought, though, that in that motion it stated that we were doing regional and...
And or.
Oh, it does state regional and
but it
or.
Gives, yeah, and it gives the budget subcommittee... authorization to look at that.
And who's the owner of it?
City.
The city. I thought that was what we didn't want to do.
Well, the motion.
Well,
on the
floor motion is being called. The question's being.
Okay. So all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Nay. I'm going to go opposed also. And that's why I'm confused because I thought we were going to redo a new motion and giving it, allowing it to be the Bureau. Giving it purchasing.
Well, we talked about it, but we never made a friendly amendment to it.
Okay.
The original motion was that the city would be the owner of the website.
We want to make sure that we get this in today, and then we'll see what else we can finish. Oh, good idea. Take a nap. So I'm going to turn this over to Karen Moss for her executive director's report.
I want to start by thanking Ed for being so patient, and when I get done, I can't read it now. yes, thank you. Thank you, Ed, and we'll segue into the Visitor Center report when I finish here. And I've asked Peter, this is such a lengthy and comprehensive report with a lot of moving parts that I've asked him to send the hard copy to all of you so you can take some time to review it yourself. You know, as you know, we've taken all of the marketing services in-house, and we've been providing in-house marketing services for all of the Morro Bay signature events to include Dahlia Days, the Avocado Margarita Festival, the Harbor Festival, and the Oyster Festival. Our efforts have included press release, media interviews, media scheduling, and social media. A gentleman named Travis Ford has been a contractor to us specifically doing event marketing, social media, and don't the stats come up right now, Peter? I thought this. Now, I'll just top line a few of this, and when you get your hard copy, you can read it yourself. He has been update for Avocado Margarita Festival.
We increased the likes from 246 to 311. Our best single day reach was 1,702. The number of posts is 20. The two top cities for fans is number one, Bakersfield, and number two, Fresno. The total reach from last week was 5,077. For the Harbor Festival, we've increased the likes from 6,570 to 6,608. Our best single day reach was 2,705. The number of posts we've made is 27. The top two cities for the fans' reach is number one, Fresno, and number two, Bakersfield. The total reach from last week was 2,636. We did a little bit of social media and media press release support for the Dahlia Days event. We increased the likes from 0 to 49. Our best single day reach was 435. We made 15 posts. Our top two cities for fans and reach was number one, Morro Bay, and number two, San Luis Obispo. The total reach for last week was 707. For Morro Bay as a destination, we've increased the likes from 5,252 to 5,521. Our best single day reach is 70,987. We've made 101 posts. Top two cities are Bakersfield and Fresno, and the total reach from last week was 67,281. And we work closely. We choreograph what Casey is doing and what Travis is doing so that there's no overlap. Travis has really focused with our regional marketing of events, and as you know, Casey is focusing on destination primarily. Peter and I have been working diligently around the clock on Saver, and as those of you who worked on it in the past know, there's a million moving parts to this. We've got upcoming our Morro Bay Adventure Tour, which takes place on Friday, September 27, is now sold out. 39 people have purchased tickets, have the opportunity to buy an additional adventure, and opted to come to Morro Bay, where they will first gather at our visitor center, where they'll be greeted with music, sangria, some breakfast burritos from Lolo's, and then we'll shuttle them up to the beautiful Shanley Ranch on Highway 41 for a farm-to-table tour and lunch. It should last from maybe 10 a.m. to 3 in the afternoon. As for our booth at Saver, we will continue to use the theme, which was developed by TJA in mental marketing, and we had such a great response to this that we're going to utilize this theme throughout the weekend, and it's the Central Coast is your oyster, Morro Bay is your pearl. That will be our banner in the booth. We will be sampling oysters and doing a sweepstakes to win a Morro Bay weekend of your choice. We have a real cute little pearl giveaway that ties in with the theme. This year's Battle of the Bay, we once again will be using Kirk from Frankie and Lola's, and we're bringing in an interesting twist on what we've done in the past. We're using a talk show host named David Wilson, who has the Grape Encounters show. David is a gourmet chef and wine connoisseur whose show, Grape Encounters, is syndicated on over 30 stations nationally. Our event MC will be our noted radio veteran, Hal Abrams.
But fierce cook-off. They haven't told us what the ingredients will be. All I know is they'll be using Morro Bay foods from land and sea. And the proverbial heat's gonna get mighty hot in this kitchen. In fact, the competition will be judged by the editors of Sunset Magazine. Yikes, no pressure there. Tickets are limited, so get in on the action at SaverCentralCoast.com. That's SaverCentralCoast.com. As for you, Chef Sowell, I say, shine up your spatula, and I'll see you in the pressure cooker on September 29th.
Thank you. So this will be a fun and unique thing that we're doing, and John Sorgen Fry and I will be working on a video. The videographer's been out of town, and she'll be back in town on the 16th. And, you know, both of these guys have such great outgoing personalities that I think they'll lend a lot of flair to this spot. And the Saver people are very pleased with the direction that we've taken with this. Public relations and publicity. We did a Labor Day television interview with KCOY featuring Mayor Irons and addressing our tourism tax dollars being up by 10%. This weekend, I've got the Monterey County Weekly Managing Editor coming to town to do feature stories on the Margarita Festivals, Harbor, and Oyster Festivals. Tomorrow, I'm taking two people at the absolute crack of dawn, picking up my guacamole at sunset tonight, to KCOY in Santa Maria for the avocado Margarita Avocado Festival on Friday morning of this week. We will be doing a Harbor Festival interview. We have a booth at the Harbor Festival this weekend, and we'll be doing an interview on air with Coast Radio and the Harbor Festival people. We've also scheduled them for an interview with Crush Radio and Grape Encounters. We will be scheduling a television interview on site for the Harbor Festival with KCOY, featuring foods, wine, and the chowder cook-off activities. And we're also scheduling the Oyster Festival for interviews. We rewrote their press release. We have set them up with interviews with Grape Encounters, Coast Radio, and the Monterey Weekly, and we are seeking some television opportunities for them right now. As Karen mentioned earlier, we do have an advertorial promoting Fall is Festival Time in Morro Bay with an article, 50,000 circulation to every hotel and visitor center in the county. Our banner ad campaign in the Central Valley promotes all of our signature events. Our top three responding areas are Fresno, Bakersfield, and Visalia. We purchased the co-op ad we discussed earlier, and good copywriting from TJA and Mental Marketing, and we're part of a co-op with the VCB. As you know, Carl Roboto is coming to town on October 3rd. He will be doing a presentation to the public. We encourage the public's participation in this. It's at 9 a.m. October 3rd at the Veterans Hall. We've started to do some media on this, and I already had some response from local print media to cover this story. As Joan mentioned earlier, we just are in the ground stages of the Shop Local campaign, and to assuage your fears, Joan, a lot of this is community relations, media relations, and publicity, so the costs are not going to be escalating. There's a lot of it that's community activity. The Shop Local, the goal of the Shop Local campaign is to make locals aware of the many benefits of shopping locally as well as the goods and services provided by the Morro Bay businesses. We're going to wrap this into the Christmas activities and incorporate all of the different factions of the community. Susan has been on the committee with me. Janice Peters, Christine is on the committee. The campaign includes community outreach, public and media relations, event marketing and promotion. We're talking about doing every single area of the community, and we'll probably be doing a dine-around activity in North Morro Bay. We'll be using the trolleys to do some Embarcadero promotion, some Quintana promotion. I am just in the proofreading stages of the city map that we've been working on, and that map, the goal is to have the map ready by Saver. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't, if Susan will go right home and do her proofreading. We've been collaborating with the Chamber's Economic Development Program to develop this map. It includes all areas of the town. It's not just chamber members, it's every business in town. Businesses that are open to the public, and it will include Embarcadero, Old Town, Quintana, North Morro Bay, and not only will it be ready for Saver, but we'll distribute it at our booth at all of the various events, and of course at the Visitor Center, which brings me to the
set. We have more time to spend with the tourists because there's less activity going on, other events that are taking place in that physical building that we're in. It's totally tourism. We've got visitors from just almost all over the world. I'll tell you just a few of the countries I marked down from Germany, Netherlands, Czech Republic, Israel, Spain, France, UK, Canada. I'm sure I'm missing quite a few, but you can see the variety we're getting. Now in our own country, people are coming from virtually every state in the Union. I just wrote a few down in the last few weeks that I've been taking notes just so I'd have my own record. We've got Arizona, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maine, New Jersey, New York, Florida, Pennsylvania, Utah, Iowa, Kansas, New Mexico, Texas, Alaska, and it goes on and on. So there is a tremendous amount of people who are finding their way from all over the world, actually, to Morro Bay. A couple of the uses of the visitor center, which you might not realize that we do, besides talking to tourists, we provide some other services. For example, had a person come in the other day, their cell phone was totally dead. Could I please plug my cell phone in and charge it? Why, of course. Well, you'd never think of that, but that's a service that we do for the visitor center. Had a lady come in the other day. It was 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. It was very cold that day, if you remember, about 2 weeks ago. And this poor lady, young woman, she was freezing cold. I mean, she literally just had like a sweater and a backpack and like really short shorts on, and she had goosebumps on, and she was like shivering. Yeah, well, it was very fortuitous that I was there. But she had her backpack, and she just said, "Oh, do you have a place that I could just change into my, you know, a sweatshirt or something?" Well, there was nothing open. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, Sunday, and I said, "Sure, come on," and we put her in the back, and she was very, very grateful about that. So that's something. Another thing is we get lots of people who are hikers, bikers, hitchhikers, and they have these big backpacks, and they want to walk around town. But it's very heavy for them to carry those backpacks. So the visitor center provides a place where they can come in and put their backpack in the back room while they walk around and then come back and pick it up later on. And we've done a number of those. So it's providing lots of services that you wouldn't normally think that the visitor center does. If I have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. But for all purposes, I think the board could be very proud of the way the visitor center is running. We've got great people that work down there, very knowledgeable. We're all working together. The visitor center is open 7 days a week, from 9 to 5, as you know. I had someone come in the other day, very surprised on Sunday morning when I work, and said, "My God, you guys are open! I just came down from San Jose, and you know they're not open on the weekend." So, you see, we are providing a great service to the city. Anybody have any questions? I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Ed. Does anybody have any questions for Ed? Thank you so much, and be sure to tell all the staff thank you.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Ed. Okay, does anybody have any questions for Karen on the ED report?
You know, I have a question, Karen, on the with the strategic marketing group. With Carl, is that meeting open to the public?
Yes.
All right.
Not only is the meeting open to the public, but we've been promoting it to the media, to the city, to all of the stakeholders, and we will, you know, do another blast as we get closer to the event, because the goal is we're going to get as many people there as possible, and we will also have a hard copy report that we'll make available to the stakeholders as well.
Joan?
Our chamber president is in the audience, and she's asking us to announce that Carl Roboto presentation will take the place of the Chamber of Commerce Morro Bay Business Forum, which takes place every other Thursday. So they will not have their business forum meeting and are asking that group of public members to attend the Carl Roboto Forum. Is that right?
Yes, and thank you to the chamber for helping us promote it, and we will, as I said, send out another blast just before the event.
I have a couple of questions on the director's report. Regarding the visitor center, I was watching our sign ordinance the other night on the Planning Commission, and I noticed that when they were talking about banners, they were talking that the banner permits are only for 90 days, and we're well past that on the now open sign that's on top of the visitor center. I'm wondering what our schedule is like to take that down.
Well, we're on the schedule, and it has been, we've been, you know, waiting in the queue to get that sign down there. I mean, I don't want to send Ed up there, so no. I'm waiting for the city to take that sign down.
Oh, okay.
And we're aware of it, they're aware of it. It's just a matter of them getting to the point where they can take it down.
Okay. And then I have a question. I like the directional banners, and we talked. I go through morrobay.org, and I went through the other day, and I'm not sure whether this is a John Sorgenfrei question or whether it's a Peter question. I don't know where this question is housed at this time, so maybe I can get that information. But right now on morrobay.org, when you go to events and you go click over to the main events page, the events end at the Oyster Festival, and people are looking right now to book in winter when we're totally dead. We should be trying, you know, we're going into our shoulder season. At the bottom it says, return here for our many exciting events throughout the year, but it said that for a month, and we haven't posted any of our, there's no 2014 events on there at all. And I'm just wondering who handles that and how we can get that list to them.
I think this is a Rick response right now, but you know, we've had a lot of questions about the website, how to update it. Karen, Lisa from the Embarcadero Inn made some good suggestions to us the other day, which I shared with Rick. There's a lot of changes we want to make on the website. I think we were looking towards getting an approved budget so that we can go forth, make some assignments. Rick was going to give Peter a tutorial, and in the future, these updates will be made by us in-house. Could you address this, Rick?
Yeah, can you address that?
The event situation.
Rick, I appreciate that.
And a couple of things came up. The good suggestion that came up was basically a list of our annual events, repetitive events. I'm thinking about, and Peter and I are going to get together on this, but I'm thinking it was a great suggestion. I think we're going to maybe replace some of the paragraphs that are at the top of the website with an annual repetitive list. But when you look at the very bottom of the list right now, because you got to remember what happens is the page is set up like this. You've got a couple of paragraphs. Mm-hmm. Then you have the three featured events, which is go to the Oyster Festival, like this right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then below that, you've got, it's kind of repetitive, all Morro Bay events.
Right.
And it starts, it starts in September here, but when you scroll down, it continues down all the way to the Morro Bay 2013 Lighted Boat Parade. Nothing in 2014.
That's what
right
I'm
now.
Saying. Yeah.
So
there's
that's
nothing.
You know, but this page is kind of unwieldy right now because it's so big, and especially when you get the listings for the, you know, right now these featured events like this brings in the Harbor Festival and the Oyster Festival, which have long listings. And so I'm thinking there's got to be a way to try to control that somehow.
I'm not sure how or when they went into a column format, but I remember previously, like 6 or 8 months, 10 months ago, I don't know, it was the three of them blocked out. They were little blocks, and then below it was that full list of the year's events that you could see, you know,
yeah,
spring, summer, winter,
something
fall,
like
or
this,
whatever.
Joan, is what
yeah,
you're
it was
saying?
Something like that, well, with a what, blip.
Yeah, what it did was it looked like it wants to say featured event
in
one,
English?
Featured event two, featured event three, and it just goes into the post on that event and brings up everything.
Right.
So that's where these, it looked different earlier,
yeah,
and because it was very short and confined, and mm-hmm, then somebody got really verbose with all this stuff. And so
do we need to limit copy on events? Like, because they all have links to their own websites anyway.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah.
And then also what I'm thinking about is up in here where you've got these two things that if you read it, it says the, you know, basically the Kite Festival, the Water Bird Festival, and stuff like this. We replace that on top with the annual events, but all it does is say the date, the name of the event, and a link to the event. And then what I'll do is I'll put outbound link tracking on it and give you another report on our events page, because this is this is the number one page right now. And so we got that's what we're turning our
right
look towards, this page,
that's
say how can we make it more user friendly, more functional, and more, you know, available to everybody to work it easily. But right now, it's, as you can see, it's real unwieldy.
Well, but it, importantly, is people are searching now for January, which is our slowest month of the year, and we have,
yeah,
we're not showing our bird festival or just, we're not showing anything.
Typically,
and so I'd love to see something up there. And
typically,
fast.
December, January, and February, 15% of your annual TOT comes in that. Anything we can do to make that better, you guys all know. You know, I mean, that's the thing to do. So right now, it's on the books, and we'll
awesome.
Hopefully we'll see something better the next time I stand in front of.
Terrific.
Thanks, Rick. Jonah, anything else?
And just, I don't know who this question belongs to either, but I have a question about our TripAdvisor destination page. As hoteliers, we receive stats from TripAdvisor. They send us a weekly update that basically says 8,000 people looked for information on Morro Bay hotels. Your website was clicked on 700 times or 300 times. Your viewers were coming from California, Britain, blah, blah, blah. And then down at the bottom, it gives you further information. And I know that, or I'm suggesting that they probably have those stats for our destination page.
All their contact information when they purchased the ticket.
They had asked, you know, we even asked the question if we would be connecting with those people in the first stage of this, and they said no. They wanted from us a little paragraph going to those people, asking them what to wear, what kind of shoes, etc. So anyway, we will definitely get that information and report that back to you.
Okay. And I have no questions, so I'm good too. Anything further for Karen before we move forward?
Thank
okay. I'm going to open up for public comment on the ED report because I have to do that on every item. Is there anybody wanting to ask any questions on Karen's ED report? I saw a public person. Or visitor center report. Hi, Susan. State your name.
Hi. I'm Susan Stewart. Have a business in Morro Bay, president of the Chamber of Commerce, et cetera. Just a thought while I was listening to the talk about the calendar. I think it's a great idea to get that updated and the concepts of having the links. One thing that came up that was interesting to me, because we've been talking about the Shop Local campaigns and the various events that we want to have associated with that, and we had gotten an email from Christine Johnson, council member, about a school event that was coming up at the end of October that would conflict with something we might do for the Shop Local events. So whether there would be a way to have some simple calendar that would, a separate one that would be for local events, so that people could post their little local, you know, the church is having a bazaar. I know that muddies things up, but if it was even just a listing with a link that they could have there along with our big events, so we don't have quite so much conflict with things that are coming up on the same weekends. And also just, I know a lot of local people do go to that visitor serving website to find out what's going on in town, because it's not all on the city site and not even all on the chamber site, such as that is. So if it's possible, if it's simple, if it doesn't muddy things up, because I know that's a huge issue with having that website be smooth and user-friendly, it's just a thought maybe for your website subcommittee to bring that up.
Thank you. No, I think that's a good thought. And I remember, I feel like we've talked about the community calendar for years, hundreds of times. This has been an issue. So I think it's, you're right. I think it'd be nice for, you know, we want as many people going to morrobay.org. I mean, we do a lot of stuff for the community as well. So I think it's important if we can, so we'll definitely address that again with Rick back on. We can maybe talk with Rick and see some options that we could try to work with, maybe just even a here local calendar, click here, and then you go and it opens up something. So that's kind of my...
So what we were doing in the old days, they were having a Google calendar that we would just link over to that, the chamber would maintain the calendar, and would just open up on that calendar.
Okay. So Rick's got some really great ideas, and hopefully we can get those things moving. I think that's a really great suggestion, and I agree. It'd be nice if we're kind of all interlinked on what we're all doing. Any other public comment? Okay. Seeing none, I will move forward. We will accept the executive director's report and visitor center for file. Thank you. And move on to the next item we have would be continued discussion and approval of a proposed policy for reimbursement to hoteliers who provide complimentary rooms and services for familiarization tours and other sponsored events. We have seen this up before us several times now. I'm hoping we can put this to rest today. We do have a recommendation before us from Karen.
Where we've all exchanged a lot of conversation and a lot of different emails on the subject, and you had asked us a couple of months ago to speak to hoteliers. We spoke to TJA. We spoke to Mental Marketing, Maureen Martin. We've come back with a couple of different options. What the recommendation that recommendation that was made to you.
I think she made some calls.
The recommendation that was made to you most recently, just to sum it up, we're looking for something that's simple and straightforward. If accommodations are required for bureau-sponsored promotions or sweepstakes, especially where upscale rooms are needed and during peak season or high occupancy periods, the bureau will negotiate directly with the owners to get the best deal possible. The bureau hopes all property owners recognize the need to provide accommodations for promotional purposes, such as journalists, consultants, tour operators, and event planners. The Bureau is recommending that hoteliers provide a minimum of 5 nights per year gratis. Beyond the availability of gratis rooms, the Bureau may have to pay up to seasonally adjusted rack rates. The Bureau hopes the owners will negotiate discounts, especially those who do not provide gratis room. Some interesting feedback for me when we first spoke about this.
Well, I think that, as you mentioned, I think flexibility is kind of the key, because there's situations where if you have a travel writer and they're of a big enough nature, they're going to pretty much tell you where they want to stay or the type of story they're going to do. Obviously, you know, flexibility also from the hotelier standpoint or the lodging property, because in when you have a request, and I had one for Westways for another client, and they wanted to come on Labor Day weekend. And it's not fair to go to a hotelier and say, comp me a room. So, you know, obviously at that point in time when you got a Westways type person, sky's, I don't want to say the sky's the limit, but it is. I mean, because if that hotelier is going to have to give up a room that they're for sure going to book at a top rate, then my opinion personally is to pay that hotelier the top rate. And I think the common sense is really where it comes down to. Obviously, you know, if there's, we got to be careful because of bloggers. You know, there's, everybody's a travel writer, and you know, you usually can pick them out because they want to stay 5 days and they want to bring their, you know, husband and their, you know, their daughter's the photographer. And you know, obviously, those people, they're either at a media rate or full rate. So I think the flexibility is the key, and the PR part of it. You know, one thing you could also do is, and I don't know if you can necessarily guarantee it, again, with somebody like a bigger publication, but one thing we do when the hotelier does supply the room at either a gratis rate or at a media rate, which, you know, could be even a low rack rate, that the hotels mention in that story or in that feature, because that's only fair to the lodging property owner that they get some coverage too. And in most cases, they're going to do that. I mean, they're going to write about their stay, so that's the only thing I would add. And in Pismo, I can just tell you how we do it there. It's really what the market will bear, you know, and the Bureau there feels that it's money well spent to pay a lodging property to have the appropriate person there. And same thing with contests. With contests, you want to make sure that you, what we do in Wine Coast Country, which is really tough because you have such a variety of properties, we let the person, when they win the contest, pick the property. And then, again, that comes at that, you know, that rack rate. I think, Karen, you had a comment about the rack rate and how that might be a good barometer. I mean, I think that's a good starting point. But I think flexibility is the key, because there are times when people are very specific and you want to honor those requests. I don't know if I help, but I guess flexibility is the key.
Thanks. Okay, so let's go around the room. I see everybody's going to their mics. I'm going to start with my left. John, do you have anything you want to comment on?
No, I think actually the flexibility is really important, because you got to be able to put the person in the right place. And I hope the hoteliers, you know, take this to heart, that everybody kicks in X number of rooms per year, you know, and maybe more if you've got a bigger property kind of thing. But as, like you say, if it's Labor Day, you're going to have to, I think it's a fair thing is to pay.
Karen?
Yeah, I think the idea, I think because we have gone round and round in terms of trying to define a rate by properties, by cost of turning a room, by season, that leaving it open is a good solution. The only thing that I would recommend, and this is, we'll go back again to the budget subcommittee, is because we do not have a specific line item for this is that it needs to be, that I think it probably should have a budget line item, and my recommendation would be that it come out of the PR budget. So that would be the logical place to pull it through. So, you know, so Karen has an idea of what she's looking at when she goes out to negotiate a room overall for the year for her budget. And other than that, I think, you know, quite honestly, I don't know about I didn't quite understand the idea of asking hoteliers for five gratis nights a year. I mean, if that's a starting point you're asking for, now after that, the reimbursements would kick in, or what? Or if it's a midweek winter, you know, that you're trying to place somebody, you know, I don't think you're going to have much trouble finding somebody to comp a room. But
I think,
you know, obviously on a busy weekend or in the middle of summer, it's going to be more difficult.
And I think we're saying this not unlike our comment about the fire sale. We want to know that we have opportunity. So, you know, I don't think anyone's going to hold your feet to the fire with the actual number of five, but it's going to be my role to really vet these journalists. You know, just as John said, there's a lot of freeloaders out there all the time. I had somebody that was telling me they were wanting to do a story on the Harbor Festival, but they didn't want to pay the admission. You know, red flag. And I think when you start asking a few questions, you can really, and, you know, once I'm new to the marketplace, and now I have resources that I can ask about people, but to various journalists. Even the Monterey County Weekly that's coming here this weekend, before we even agreed to, and Michelle was courteous enough to comp two room nights, I got him to agree to feature stories on avocado, harbor, and oyster.
That's great. The one thing that I think that we don't cover on this is, how are we going to determine who rooms are requested from so that there's a feeling of transparency to the constituents when they come back at the end of the year? I know that there's been in the past some feelings that certain hotels were promoted above other hotels and all this stuff. Of course, you know, when you call for a comp room on a Friday night for some travel writer that's coming in on a Saturday and you need the room Saturday night, it's whoever's got the room open that would get the travel writer. But what's going to be our mechanism for prompting hoteliers to be aware that they might have an opportunity to host the media?
I think it's going to be a lot of vetting on my part and discussing, is the person coming alone? Are they coming as a couple? What are their needs? Let's talk about the visit from Carl Roboto. You know, obviously, we're going to really want to showcase the best of Morro Bay, and I'm sure I'll be making a few calls to the best hotels to see, you know, what kind of availability they have and what kind of rate we can get. We fully expect to pay for Carl Roboto, and we have the budget to do it.
Did that answer your question? I think your question was, if I'm not, and maybe I'm wrong, was your question how, say, some blogger's coming in, your question, is she going to turn around and send out a blast to all the hoteliers saying such and such blogger's coming in, who wants to comp rooms?
Or
is that the line? Is that?
Yeah, what's our mechanism for determining that? Because while you may have six hotels on the hook that you might be interested in going out to, are you going to, you know, let's say somebody's coming in, they're doing an economy segment piece for, you know, a travel with your backpack down Highway 1, stay at these great rate hotels. Let's say that's their shtick. You know, we have 12 economy brand hotels here. Do we then have, are you going to take all 12 of those hotels and put it out there, or is it the first person that we call, they answer yes? I mean, what's the mechanism for making sure there's transparency and fairness?
I'm just trying
to figure that out.
I think, again, it kind of gets back down to the whole common sense situation. You know, it's difficult to, when you have a writer or a contest winner that's looking for a place and you don't have a lot of notice, I think it's really spreading the wealth. And, you know, I think that's sort of up to Karen to do that. And obviously, it's not going to be fair to have one hotelier, you know, receive all these. I do think on the contest thing, the easy thing to do is let them pick. And that really, and then in that particular case, in the contest situation, we usually pay the hotelier, you know, either a rack rate or a media rate, because that you want that person that wins that prize, because one of the things about prizes, and that we didn't really get into this, a whole other subject, is we want to turn those prize winners, because I'm going to suggest in all of your advertising that we have a call to action, which is win a trip to Morro Bay, and we include activities. We want them that when they come and part of their, when they sign to accept their prize, we're going to film them, we're going to get them on Facebook. So you want a pleasant experience. Not to say that, you know, there's not a variety of places they could say it wouldn't be pleasant, but if they pick, then, you know, that's helpful. And that's a real simple way. You know, we send them to the website, send them to the lodging section, and say, you know, where would you like to go?
And it might be something, too, just in where even if you've got bloggers, hey, go to morrobay.org, pick your top three that you'd want to stay at. It doesn't mean they're going to get to do that, but then they would come to Karen and say, these are the three I want. She's going to vet those three first, try to do her best job, and then, you know, go from there. But
from
I
most
think
of
it
my
is
experience is most writers, they have a pretty good idea where they want to stay when they come. And if not, then I think that's a great suggestion, have them pick. But also, you know, obviously Karen's going to administrate this and make sure, you know, going to make sure it's fair. And we try to do that in Pismo. I mean, you know, we've got a variety of hotels. One person will do it. And plus, it's not, as much as it sounds good that they're all going to go to one hotel, it's not that good because, you know, they've got to give up a room at a media rate. And so it's important to spread the wealth two ways, not always depend on one person to take that load. But then again, if they're going to get written about, obviously not letting them have the whole experience. And I think the diversity of lodging properties is another selling point that we have. So it would be important, depending upon the story, to have them stay in a variety of different types of properties.
Exactly. Nick, anything?
Yeah, I was just going to say I like the recommendation because it puts the onus on our director of tourism, and that's what we're paying her to do, and we trust her decision. So it's less complicated than having some.
Aye. Okay, we are moving on. Treasurer to provide up-to-date financials. So Karen Biagini is going to provide us with some up-to-date financial reports. I believe
I'm not really going to go into these in detail because I didn't get them to the board until this morning. I had them on the table when you came in. And all I want to say is what you have in front of you for financials is I had George Ross pull a July 2012 to June 2013 so we could have a look at our first full year, although it's not really a full year because up until probably November, December, the city was paying the majority of the bills and they started allocating some funds over to the Bureau for basically the capital expense of setting up the offices and visitor center, rents and that kind of thing. And then we also pulled a month of August, and we pulled a current year to date, which of course is just July and August. And then there are balance sheets also for those. But like I say, in terms of the financials themselves, I'm not going into detail because I know nobody's had a chance to really look at them at this point. I would suggest that we bring back a treasurer's report, and there's going to be a change in that direction also, and perhaps in conjunction with a budget subcommittee report to review financials and the situation with financials, how they're being produced at the next meeting.
So as you heard her say, this is pretty much just for your information today. We are not going to do much with this. This will give us an opportunity to look over everything, and then we'll move into the further directions. I will bring up just something to think about, too. I've had two requests from board members that they would like to see a treasurer's report or budget subcommittee report or some kind of financial report monthly. So that's something that we could address at this item or address. So that is one thing. Just moving forward, I want to note, I think monthly we need to be having those reports. But okay, so at this point, you've all been provided with that. We're going to move forward with that. We know that this will be coming back as a future agenda item. So if you guys can ask questions at that time. So we will move forward to recommendation from Budget Subcommittee for selection of treasurer for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. And I'll turn that over to Joan.
We have 10 minutes left in the morning. Good morning. So to go back, we are looking to have a change in terms of the Budget Subcommittee for Treasurer. Our treasurer is looking to reduce some workload, to step away for some personal goals that she has this year. And so with that, we're looking to have some change in leadership on as treasurer for our bureau and move forward with that. Having said that, in our bureau bylaws, no board member can hold two officers' positions simultaneously. So that would, at this juncture, eliminate, obviously, Michelle, Vice Chair Myers from being a treasurer. It would eliminate Member Beeman from being treasurer. And I am currently on the Budget Subcommittee. Having said that, there are some things that I'm going to be doing over this next year which will not allow me to step up to become treasurer. I have some responsibilities that I've stepped forward to with some community commitments. And so I want to live through, you know, one commitment at a time and live through it in the best way that I possibly can. So I'm unable to step up as treasurer. Quite honestly, over the 4 years, I've done quite a bit, and I'd like to see other members of the board really have the opportunity to jump in there and have fun participating. So that would leave members Amini and members Mendoza, unless there are members of the board who are currently seated officers who want to step down from their position and can state so here and would be willing to step up for treasurer. That would leave a vacant position open for election at the next meeting. That's my report.
Looking at the bylaws, I just don't see where one person can't hold two offices.
It's very interesting, John. I've tried to do some research, too, on that. Anna verbally had mentioned to me she would possibly step up as treasurer, but she is secretary. So that would then open a secretary position. So a couple suggestions we may want to do here is we may want to do a temporary interim treasurer for the month to get us kind of all in line. And when we have a full board here with Alex and Jane, we may then want to readdress this issue then, because if Jane, and I don't know if this is the direction the board wants to go, but if Jane did do treasurer, then that would open up secretary. So we would have to reassess that. But being Alex and Jane are both not here, I personally would feel a lot more comfortable waiting until we have our 7-member board here to choose who our officers are. I think that would be important. In the interim, though, we need to have a treasurer. We cannot go without a treasurer. So I think in the interim, we would need to do something until our next month's meeting. That's my suggestion, my 2 cents on it all.
Unless Nick is interested in accepting a nomination for treasurer, well, I mean, we have to ask that question. Nick,
well,
if we nominated you as treasurer, which we think you would be fantastic at, do you want to say?
I would probably not do it just because... You know, I do have a lot of things going on also, and, you know, being a non-hotelier too, it would be kind of, you know, I would hope that one of the, like maybe Alex would be willing to do it, but, you know, it's a big responsibility and something that I really have to consider, and it's, so.
Yeah, may I make a comment, Michelle? I think it would be helpful to draft a job description for the secretary position and the treasurer position, so whomever takes the role knows what the responsibilities are. It is? Okay.
Yeah, they're defined in the bylaws. I think...
Well, I know Jane had some questions about her role as secretary, And I thought perhaps it wasn't clearly defined to her.
I think we may need to remind everybody what the duties are. And I think that's why, for me, you know, if Jane's offering to be treasurer, but she's secretary, maybe we look at more of the secretary side of things than we do a treasurer things. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there.
Okay. I move that we, to get us moving along, if you don't mind, I move that we... That we place John Myers in as interim treasurer, that we, for a one-month period of time, at which we'll revisit this at our October meeting, that we additionally add for the interim, for the month of September to our October meeting, Nick Mendoza onto the budget subcommittee to complete a round budget subcommittee of three, so we don't have a deadlock on there as we discuss the things we've been charged with. If he'll accept, and that we bring this issue with any other issues regarding position changes back at our October meeting. If that is, if I can get a second, we can open that for discussion.
I'd second that.
Okay, discussion.
It's a month.
Couple
so just for clarification, you're saying Member Myers would be treasurer for the month of September?
Yes.
And that I would be on the budget subcommittee for the month of September?
Correct. We need a third person so we don't become deadlocked on there on any issue. John?
Right. Because now just the former treasurer member, Biagini, couldn't serve as on that subcommittee?
I'm stepping off of the budget subcommittee also.
Oh, okay.
I have been on it.
All right.
Now, traditionally, it has been the treasurer that has been on the budget subcommittee, though. So
okay.
My suggestion with the motion would be that you have temporary seats for budget subcommittee and temporary treasurer for the month, and then at the next meeting that you also open up all executive positions. So that if people want to move positions mm-hmm. around, mm-hmm. it's on the agenda that all positions would be looked at in terms of moving the positions around in the executive committee.
And John Myers, my question to you under this discussion is, would you accept treasurer for the month? And you would basically be wearing two hats for the month, which we know is not the permanent solution. It would be to get us over this hump when we have all of our board members here.
I'm just looking at this thing. Vacancies, because of resignation or whatever, shall be filled in the manner prescribed by the bylaws for normal appointments to office, which is elected. However, vacancies need not be filled on an annual basis. I'm not sure what vacancies need not be filled on an annual basis means.
You know, but I think that means in most corporate bylaws, that means that you don't have to have a certain positions filled. You don't have to have in our position. I would think on our board, maybe the secretary and the vice president would be positions that could be vacant for some time. I don't think the presidency or the treasurer would be things that could be open for any length of time.
Still in
on you. I don't think we had a second yet on that.
No, we had Karen. Member Biagini
second.
Oh, that's right.
Nick, are you cool with that?
Yeah, I can do that for a month.
Okay.
You know, the other thing, too, is how long are our terms on this board? Do we know who's
that's
coming
so
on?
That's so ironic. I just a couple days ago sent an email to Jamie Boucher asking
okay.
her where we were all
right.
at. I knew Karen Biagini and I just upped, so I know we're on here for long term, but I don't know where everybody else is.
You know, maybe we could add that to our agenda for next month and just to kind of see where we're at, who's coming on.
And that was why I posed that, is I didn't want to put a treasurer on that was maybe up
right,
for leaving.
Right.
And so that was exactly why I proposed that question to her. I just, mm-hmm. Obviously the city's got a lot going on, so I haven't
right.
heard back from her.
Yeah,
so,
understood.
So for now, then, the motion we have on the table is Nick will sit on budget subcommittee for the month, John will wear two hats for the month, and we will bring this back next month for a final. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0. Okay. We just kind of killed two birds with one stone, because the next thing was recommendation from Budget Subcommittee for selection of board member for Budget Subcommittee for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau, and we just solved that. So we are done with that one. I like that. The next item is approval of employee personnel manual. You have all had this before you. We've had it for several months.
Excuse me, Chair.
Yeah.
If I have to go, now, are we going to have a quorum still if I leave?
We are, but...
We do have a quorum.
Okay.
AGP, I believe you said 12:45?
Yeah.
Okay. So we technically have about another half an hour. Thanks, John and Rick. We technically have another half an hour. Do you, before you leave, did you have a chance to review the employee personnel manual and the accounting policies and procedures?
I looked it over briefly, and I really don't have a huge problem with any of the documents. I mean, they're pretty straightforward and standard, and so hopefully we can approve them and move forward.
Okay. I guess I'll just poll the board briefly. If there's a lot of things that need to be discussed on these items and there's a lot of stuff for big discussion, I think we should bring them back. If we're going to pretty much agree to these items and not have big discussion, I'm okay with the four of us moving on. Okay, so let's move forward. We got about a half an hour. Okay, I think we can move through it.
Let's start with the personnel
manual. Let's start with the personnel manual, and then we'll try to move through this because really we had a little extra wiggle room. So the employee personnel manual you've all had. And again, I want to remind you, like all the things we do, this is a starting point. It's fluid like anything else we do. It doesn't mean anything can't come back before us and be changed if need be.
So may I interject?
Please do.
There were the three of us on the Employee Personnel Manual Subcommittee, which was myself, Michelle, and Jane. And we went through it with a fine-tooth comb. We made changes. We shot them back and forth to each other, and we were all totally fine with it. And then we said, we'll send it to the city attorney because the city had agreed to review it. The city attorney took it, showed it to the HR department, and then he went over it with a fine-tooth comb. He made his suggested changes and then sent it back to us and said, it is a legal document, it is clear as stated, and you should move forward with it. But now we have a subcommittee member who's made some questions or some changes about it, and I'm not sure where those have come from. I mean, as someone sitting...
Set the document out.
Right, I understand that.
Set the document mm-hmm. out. The changes, I believe they were in red, aren't they?
On the document.
So I'm a little, I don't want to use the word perplexed, but I just, my question, I guess, is, you know, we've had this. It's been looked over by our subcommittee multiple times. And it was my understanding that we were, after the city attorney looked it forward, we were moving it through for recommendation for approval. But now we also have recommendation for changes. And so I'm wondering where you stand, Chair.
Would suggest that maybe we adopt the personnel manual without the red changes. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we can then work on the red changes with the city attorney and then bring those red changes, if need be, and then bring the red changes back for approval. But we can at least get this document in place, started without the red changes, and then bring the red changes back for future, if need be. That would be my recommendation.
Did you say they came from one of the subcommittee people?
Yeah.
It had been reviewed by HR and the
right.
city attorney.
So that's why I would like to see this thing move forward. So then that way we can get like anything, we can always come back and change things. I just think it's really hard because now with the red changes on there, they haven't been looked at by the city attorney. So it concerns me. I don't want to put something in a personnel manual that isn't okayed by an attorney. So that is what the record Nick Mendoza left at 12:04. Thank you. Peter's already on it and already noticed. And we have a 4-0 vote for this. I think we need to go to four people here, and we'll get stuff done. okay, approval of accounting policies and procedures. Approval of accounting policies and procedures is the next thing that is before us. You may all remember this is a document that, again, I think we've all had for probably about 2 months now. I don't see any red line items on here, so I'm assuming nothing's been changed for the last few. And we all agree. I know there was a couple questions people had posed to me individually, and I told them, just like I told them with everything else, we can always come back and bring anything if need be. But I think overall this is a very thorough Policy and procedure. I think there was one question in here I had saw where it said to ask George, meaning the accountant. It was still in here. Here it was, right here. On page 8, it was, yeah, checks are processed weekly. Checks can be issued within one day on an emergency basis only with ED approval, and we needed to ask George this. Yep. My question is, did anybody ask George?
He's been asked. He hasn't responded yet.
Oh, okay. So that's the only thing, I think.
And if I could just say, there was some comment that was received on the document, and unfortunately, I didn't change everything in red. The 90% of it only dealt with the page 8 disbursement and expense allocation. And upon rereading that, I also determined it was quite confusing.
After the final?
After the final, yeah. So I went back and rewrote that section. It was, what was, I think, confusing was, you know, there's one way we pay vendors is checks, another way we reimburse employees on expense reports, and then kind of what confused it is there might be a situation where a vendor needs to be paid in advance and doesn't accept a credit card or something like that. So we're trying to build the opportunity in there to submit a form and get a check in advance to take to a furniture or a, you know, a retail rental place to be able to.
John, this is a perfect example of, you know, a caterer that we're hiring for Sabre.
Exactly.
Will require a 50% deposit down, and we, you know, they won't go forth with the order until we've given them half of the cost. So.
And if you look in the appendix, there's separate forms for those for an expense report versus a check request to pay to a vendor for a down payment or something like that. So I think that's all been clarified. The it was all clarification. It wasn't changing any of the meaning of what was written. Other than that, I think everything's the same except there were some typos and things like that.
So I would just state for the record that George needs to okay this line, just needs to be pulled out of there. That was my only notice with it. And I think if George comes back to us and this isn't going to work, then as with anything, we can bring this before us and make that change as needed. Karen, do you have?
I just want to say that George has been really flexible with anything we've wanted to do, and I don't imagine there'll be any problem with him in the future. He's, you know, happy to represent us.
Right, exactly.
It's not an everyday thing. It's an emergency basis. I'm sure that George will, you know.
Okay, so I'd love to see a motion that we approve the accounting policies and procedures.
Before I say so moved, I would just like to say so thank you very much to Karen Biagini and John Myers, who worked diligently, their fingers to the bone, to put this procedure together. It was a, you know, it started out, and it's a daunting task to start out from scratch on these kinds of things. And, you know, our board and our community should be much, much appreciative of your efforts. So thank you very much. So moved.
Second? John Myers has seconded. I ditto what she says. Okay, any further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 4-0. Okay. Declaration of future agenda items. So we note we have the research on the website. That is in a future agenda item we discussed, which would piggyback after Carl Roboto's, which our next meeting will be after Carl Roboto. So the research on website and the financials. Discussions and report. And then also the third one I have would be the treasurer.
We slipped it because we didn't have the June 30th year-end numbers.
Understood.
We didn't want to do the TBID report with 11
right.
months, and so it started slipping. So it, I think the point is well taken. It's just big to do an 11-month report.
I think what we...
Got you.
Yeah, I think...
I got you. Nope, I hear you loud and clear.
And right now what's going to happen is next month in October, it's going to fall on the T-bid. We could put it on the T-bid if we wanted for October, because October we have a T-bid meeting. So we could do it. And what we may want to do is just look at that for the month that's coming up. And, you know, like on this one, we could do it on the T-bid.
Yeah, why don't we look at when we try and do it on the T-bid, but maybe the one in July slips to the Bureau meeting in August.
Maybe set it up in the master calendar or something and adjust it per Bureau and bid depending on when it falls. But one of the things I'd like to see, if we could incorporate this in the TOT report, is comparative. So that we can look at year-to-date numbers and compare to prior year-to-date numbers. Maybe even, if it wouldn't be too much difficulty, to go back over a five-year period or something like that, or even just a four-year from the inception of the bid, although I think it would be nice to incorporate prior to bid also. So our stakeholders can see progression revenue-wise and occupancy-wise. I think that would be really beneficial in looking at our TOT.
I think that's a really good suggestion. I like that, because I think it would be nice to see before TBID. I remember we had done something like that a long time ago, but, yeah, no, great suggestions. Before we adjourn, Joan has an announcement she forgot to do under board announcements, so I'm going to have her do that real quick now.
Really quick, this is a super important one. There's two of them. The Morro Bay's 50th Citizens Citizens Group is going to be meeting here in the Recreation and Parks Department on the 23rd at 4 p.m. That's Monday the 23rd at 4 p.m. We have a fantastic logo coming forward by a local guy named John O'Brien, and we may have some comps there, or may not. We probably won't, but we're not quite there yet, but we will be discussing it. And also, I'd just like to remind the community that tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Friday Night Lights, it's a home high school football game. Go out and support your Morro Bay Pilots and get your Morro Bay Pirate Boat Nachos or a Pirate Potato and show up at the Morro Bay High School Pirates football game and support the kids. Thank you. I do not remember who they play, actually. I'm so sorry. I do know that they sent out a note, and if you're willing to help the boosters, they need help with the barbecue.
And may I also mention we will have a Tourism Bureau booth at the Margarita Festival this weekend, handing out marketing collateral. We're not doing a data collection at this event because the Margarita people are doing it themselves. But we'll be, you know, promoting what we're doing, meeting the public. I'm sure Peter's friend will be wearing some wacky ensemble. But anyway, we're there all weekend.
Great. Awesome. Wonderful. Yeah. I'm getting hungry. So will I look for a motion to adjourn?
Seconded.
All in favor? John always wants to stay here and have martinis. So the three of us all in favor, aye.
Aye, aye,
aye. John can, all in, opposed?
Me.
Yeah. John wants to stay here all day. Thank you, everybody.